intimu yakho yasemzantsi imidliwe njani na wena? Good
Hayi, indlela
morning.
ahluke ngayo sihlalo emzini.
Sithi isiNtu.
Sathi uzonda akhona la madala aza sithethelela, asibethile isikotlandi izolo.
Hayi, aza sithethelela. Aza sithethelela amakhonko amadala. Hayi, hayi. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to show my face in order that when troubles coming, you have seen that I'm present as chairperson. Good morning to everyone who's in the platform, the office of a ministry. I've seen that UDM is already on the platform. I'm not yet seeing the head of department, political head, which is minister. I'm not yet sure whether he's still sick, but I'll get there. I'm welcoming all of you today. Ndiyabona nalo mntu oswerishayo apha. Sesakwamkela mntana enkosi, ingasikuyikhuphe le foto soyikhathi.
Ukhazile the, ukhazile the, we are going to meet you. Good morning.
This is the month of Amagugu. Anyone is allowed just a little bit of your language. You are allowed. I don't know about the translation. Let me take this that again. We are back in this committee. This 2 weeks or a week, we're doing well. Engagements constructively and information that we did get, whoever did come here and the suggestions of members. It's so nice when we're having a meeting and all of us as leaders, we treat each other as leaders. I do appreciate that. Irrespective of that, we don't agree upon our good selves, but that decorum of the committee is like of the house. I do appreciate. By those words, I do welcome you. I'm aware that we'll be having a plenary. Come 12, honorable members will be getting to the bus. If now I can ask the department to introduce the delegation, and then after the department, the NAC to do so, any department also, whilst you're introducing your good self, coupled with the apologies, and after that, even the NAC introducing themselves and coupled with the apologies. To you, DM, maybe because we always given by the acting DG or a DG, but I'm suspecting that I must always consult with a minister or DM in order that it must be one of them telling what is that they want to say. DM.
Thank you so much, Chair. I wanted to let you know that the minister is in the meeting. The only thing is that I know he is using a Ntombi Kayise, so he had to come in using the PA's gadget. I know. So, but he is in the meeting. I just wanted Chair to know that a minister is in the meeting. Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, Ntombi Kayise. We are welcoming you. We were thinking that you are still sick. Thank you, DM.
Yes. No, thank you so much, Chair. I'm going to hand over to Acting DG, Chair, as you had already confirmed. She will do the honors. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, DN. Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just showing my video slightly, and I want just to declare that my line network quality is very, very poor this morning. But I'm hoping that it won't disrupt the presentations. Chairperson, good morning to you, Minister, Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, Chairperson of the NAC Council, and the members of the board, my colleagues. Good morning to all of you. Happy Heritage Month once again. We would like to just indicate that on the side of management, there is myself, Acting DG Dr. Khumalo. We have the DDG in charge of corporate services, also in charge of entities, hence her presence also here, Ms. Mandisa Chikwatamba. We have the CFO present in the meeting, Israel Mukwame. He always says I spell his name incorrectly, but I'm getting there. We have also supporting staff from the Office of the Minister, led by the Chief of Staff, Ms. Bakwa. And we also have support staff from the Office of the Deputy Minister, who are also represented, for instance, Sivuile Watani. Allow me not to mention all the names of the officials that are supporting Chair. We have the head of the Office of the DG, Ms. Ramalepe, together with the Parliamentary Law Officer in the Office of the DG, who would be assisting us with screening our presentation, Lord Week. From also the department in terms of management, Chair, can I just indicate that we have officials such as Ms. Kanye Ngobo, who is from Heritage, who's here because she also deals with PESP. And we have an apology from the two DDGs who we have excused, Chair, with your permission, hopefully, because they have to continue with other work commitments. But the stuff that had to do with what we're going to discuss today are here. Allow me to also indicate, Chair, that we have the special advisor to the Minister, Mr. Ray Nkwe, present in the meeting. I'm just trying to see whether we have Mr. Futsani, who is also the special advisor to the Minister. He might not have joined. They are busy, as indicated, as Portfolio Committee is aware that we have got the big spot in Durban tomorrow, on Thursday, sorry, and Friday. So some of them are busy there. Those are the officials that are present here to present and support. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Acting DG. We are all welcoming what he was telling us. But I'm suspecting it's Futsani, not Futsani. Thank you.
I'm getting there. I'll get there.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Sandada Mukwame, sorry, I'm learning.
No problem.
The tongue is very big, thank you.
Can I give the leader of NAC to introduce and to give us apologies?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. I'm also just going to open my video just to show that it is me, and I'll turn it off again.
Thank you
very much. And again, good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and to members of the Portfolio Committee, and also to the Honorable Minister Kodwa, as well as the Deputy Minister Mafu, and the Acting DG and DDG, and all the colleagues from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and as well as my peers, all my council members and management. I also would like to wish everyone a happy Heritage Month as well. From our side, Honorable Chairperson, we have tendered, we are tendering apologies from Councillor Mutian, from Councillor Kewu, Councillor Da Silva, Councillor Mbuyane, Councillor Ngwenya and Councillor Nachu. Those are the only apologies from our side. And those that will be joining today will be, excuse me, Councillor Dembe, Councillor Sithole, Councillor Nkosi, Councillor Swart, Councillor Mtwana, Councillor Kekana, and we have the Chief Executive Officer, the Interim Chief Executive Officer, as well as our Company Secretary. I don't know if there's anyone else I've missed on my side, but I think that is the list of all the members that are with me. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Mbali. Can now I take this opportunity to give it to our secretariat to give us apologies.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. We do have an apology from Mr. Sibisi, who has connectivity issues, and we also have an apology from Mr. Madlengozi, who is joining another meeting today. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, can now I give you the presentation of this agenda. I would love to ask you to adopt it. Honorable Maloman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Greetings to my colleagues, the staff, and the department. We've got Minister and Deputy Minister. Let me also greet Deputy Minister and the Minister, and also the NAC leadership. Chair, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you. Honorable Eugene Mteto.
Thank you, Chair. I second the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Eugene Mteto. Honorable members, we've said we're in this month, we did declare last week that we're in the month of a heritage amagugu. Let's get now sikhabele ezibalini sigqagqamise siqale umgqakhwe esidla ilifa. Can now I take this opportunity to give it to the department. Good morning, Honorable Minister Official. I've forgotten now this name that you are in with. If I was remembering, I was going to good morning as I'm numbers. What is this name? I Uchintile.
No, he's back to his name. It was Ndombilayise. It was Ndombilayise when I
said. Yes.
I use the budget of one of the staff members because I have connection problems where I am.
No, yes. DM did report, but I'm seeing that now we are seeing the Honorable, the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture. Good morning. Honorable Ministry, we are giving to you for overview by your department. Thank you, Ministry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity again for inviting us on these important matters. Without any delay, we will request the DG to lead the presentation, Chair. Thank you very much. With your permission.
Thank you, Babu Zizi. Elimnyama nenkomo zalo, but awumnyamanga wena.
Elimnyama o limhlophe, good morning. Can you see the people?
Osiyam. Honorable Minister. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Switch off because we still need you to be part of us. Thank you, Honorable Minister, and then now Acting DG.
Thank you.
Ngibonile nje dala and up intombazana le minister bekayisebenzisa.
Acting DG, hey, lo mfose uqalile, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Our approach in terms of this presentation is looking at the governance issues first, Chair. We took that approach, I think, also arising from some of the guidance we got from Portfolio Committee. So we will start broadly with the issues related to governance, which DDG, in charge of the oversight unit, will take us through. Then I will come back with an overview again from the department that focuses on PEP.
My apology in case I've forgotten. I've seen somebody reminding me about that we must know as this committee that today is a commemoration of passing away of Utatu Steve Biko. May his soul rest in peace. In case, again, I do forget, may his soul rest in peace. I'm very sorry. Continue acting teaching.
Thank you, Chair. So I was then saying DDG Chikwatamba will then lead on the governance issue, this presentation. Then we are requesting that we be allowed to then just focus on PEP, which I will lead also from the department's perspective. Thereafter, we will then hand over to NAC for them to zoom into their area of functioning in as far as PEP is concerned. So that is how we have packaged this presentation. Chair, through you, DDG Chikwatamba will then take us through this one.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, all honourable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, ADG, all colleagues on the platform, your greeted. Maybe let me just show myself for a moment with unstable wave on my side. I'm quickly also cutting the video. I take this presentation to be a presentation that is prepared just to give an overview, quick overview on the things that we are monitoring as the department. Here and there, I will highlight some issues, but on the same issues, NAC may later come back with detail, but it's just to highlight the things that we are tracking. I think this whole index is speaking to what are those things that we are tracking. Firstly, that we are still operating within our mandate that I can confirm in our engagements with the NAC. The impetus and emphasis is still on the promotion of artistic expressions through different instruments that we use, as well as making sure we're creating opportunities for those expressions to be displayed and commercialized, and looking at the whole hierarchy in terms of the developmental chain across the spectrum of artists that need support. Of course, we are also highlighting that the entity is still operating under the Act that establishes it. And of course, I am aware that we've had some conversations with the NAC that was saying maybe the Act needs to be looked at here and there in terms of better enablement that we can derive from the Act. But those are still conversations. I'm speaking to the latter part of the legislative and policy mandate, what is written there. I'm just contextualizing it to say what it is. We can go to the next slide. In terms of performance against the APP, the non-financial information, on the quarter we are reporting on. The entity has achieved all its targets. And we hope that will be so, such that by the end of the year, we are not far off from the target they have achieved as the year target for 2022-23. We can go to the next slide. For financial allocations, the budget is given with the annual increments that they have been receiving over the three-year period that is showing. Just to confirm that this entity has not received any infrastructure grant in the last 3 years. More attention was on just enabling it on funding instruments. Thank you. Can go to the next slide. For its audit results, stuck on unqualified audit results with findings. Don't know, they try hard to say, can we go to clean audit? But we shall talk later to some of the things that keep on raising findings in their audits. However, appreciation is still to the fact that they get unqualified audit outcomes. Talking to some of those things that keep worrying us and worrying them. It's issues of irregular expenditure. In this instance of 2022-23 irregularities have been around issues of funding, looking at as well expenditure in excess of approved budget. As I speak to that, that is around the issue balancing the proposals, approvals and disbursements. I think as well the issue of appeals may also be contributing to this. Then the next item, just looking at the strategic plan and compliance issues, we record that 2022-23, there was no a new tabling of a strategic plan. The entity took it that it was still within its original strategic plan and need not revise the strategic plan. We are monitoring the issues of consequent management following the irregular unauthorized expenditure reports and other non-compliance issues that have been picked up by the audit, by the Auditor General. And of course, us still being quarter one and just being at the close of door in completion of the audit, perhaps early to make expressions on this, but I'm just highlighting that this is one area that we are monitoring very closely. Of course, that is coupled with the internal control measures within the entity, as we are seeing that these internal control deficiencies are some of the things that keep on leading them to unqualified audit results with findings. That's where the findings come into play in terms of compliance with regulations. If I'm talking regulations, national treasury regulations, or making sure that there is compliance to policies that the entity has established for itself. We can go to the next slide. Then talking about the council and the activeness of the council, firstly, I can still confirm that the council is still constituted. I think there is only one vacancy for what I remember in the council composition. And in terms of issues of gender balance, which is one of the things that we are looking at, I can indicate that the composition of the council, of course, is in two parts. part that is of the process that is through the adverts and the process handled by the department, and then the other part in terms of the nominations that we receive from the provinces. I think we lost the good gender balance when we got to stage two, and I think it's because that is not those nominations are not coming from a central point. So we try our best to communicate to the provinces to say this is the gender balance we want to achieve, but it's up to the province to see who's the best person for it to send to the council. Otherwise, on the first phase, we had managed to strike at least 50-50 balance in terms of gender. I will not go into names, but I think whilst I was speaking, I was also giving an opportunity for members just to gloss over the expertise that are within the council. And of course, provincial representation that I spoke of is starting from the members listed from member number 10 of the council members that are here listed. We can go to the next slide just to complete the list of the provinces represented. And I think from this list, it is clear that at least whilst at one time we had reported that provinces were not coming through with their provincial representation, we have now at least turned the corner and we have a good representation of the provinces. I think we can proceed. When it comes to composition of management, the management is as have been reported before. The only thing I can highlight now is that of the two persons, so, Ms. Dipufa and Ms. Bula, linked to the footnote that is under this table, the council and executive, when it comes to the CFO, there has been a process that ensued in terms of filling the position of the CEO. However, this process, before it was finalized, it just collided with clarity to the fact that the entities amalgamation process is indeed kicking off. So as the department led by Minister, we had to reflect and say, do we, when we think there will be some kind of rationalization, go ahead and appoint CEOs where there are vacancies or there are alternative measures we can apply just to manage the exit in the event that rationalization says out of three CEOs, perhaps we only need one. Wisdom that had applied in this case when council realized that it was anyway going to extend the acting of the two very same people, a decision which is in compliance with governance arrangement, was that to create stability, let them be appointed as interim CEOs, interim CFO. What that does, it still says this person is within an acting transition space, but it says continuous every 6 months you are renewing the acting arrangement. But the other thing it helps with is that it makes the position free such that now one can at least appoint a contract person against that position in the event, the position that has been left by either of the two, in the event that additional capacity is required to strengthen the management capacity of the organization. At least then when you do that, you know that you are on contract. So at exit, it's easy to manage the exiting of that contract in the process of rationalization during the amalgamation process. I just felt, let me spend more time providing clarity here to the footnote that is below this table. Thank you very much. We can proceed. In terms of the activities of the council, starting with the number of council members, it's confirming what I indicated, that I think there is perhaps one vacancy, 19, 18. And then in terms of attendance record, 70%, I think it can still improve. We are just going to be engaging with the entity just to understand circumstances that make members, because indeed we are, as the department, thinking there needs to be an improvement on the 70% attendance rate by council members. Perhaps I may as well just to speak to this overall and say to assist, I think it's a communication that has gone to council across the entities to say, let virtual channels of participating in meetings also be regarded as full participation in meetings, which will also save travel costs. And we hope that this message and application of this directive to the entities will also assist in increasing the participation rate of the members. The rest of the figures, they're just showing a expenditure as well, which speaks to what I'm talking about in terms of a directive that went to the entities across, which is also a directive that is emanating from us looking at the trends in terms of spending by councils across the entities and looking at various ways to curb the spending rate under the council bills. We can continue. I think on this one, it's just a slide that is showing participation of executive management in other entity forums where they engage with other entities within their sector, the development agencies sector forum, which is the governance forum, the CEO's forum, which is the leadership forum that is chaired by the DG, and the chairperson's forum that is held by Minister. Minister has already had some forum meetings with the entities. Okay. This one, I think I'll just provide a summary in terms of a key issue about this slide. I think it's a complement of the organization. In total, with the numbers that are broken down, I know there is another slide where we could have just made a small error by not adding up correctly. The number is 47 broken down if we're adding 28 plus 19, if we're adding 34 plus 4 of the vacancy rate, it still goes back to the same number, 47. The vacancies that we have are the vacancies before it was the CFO and the CEO with the interim arrangement that releases now the development manager and finance manager as well as the other two that have long been as well vacant, communication and marketing as well as organizational development effectiveness. Those are the four positions that are now vacant that, as I have mentioned, we have given a direction to the entity that says, for capacity reasons, please go ahead, but you can fill this on contractual arrangements. Yes, we were all concerned to say, if you are going to get short-term contracts, for CEO and CFO, are you going to get the best? But I think we can afford to do this with these positions that I've just mentioned as vacant. Okay, can proceed. Demographics, not too bad in terms of females versus males, other racial demographics versus the African component of our demographics. Of course, I think on the colored band as well as Indian band, we're thinking as well as the white band, there can still be some balancing, but overall, the demographics of the entity are greatly black. And on the black and total, of course, we have a female representation, at least not at a bad note. We can proceed. This is where I mentioned that when we're doing the slides, there could have been just a small omission part in us. For that, we'll have to look at where did we lose one employee. But as I have already indicated with the totals that we have given, we are totaling 47. Okay. I can proceed. General and specific challenges, leadership challenges, they're speaking to the vacuum that I've already spoken to in terms of the leadership vacuum. And I've already spoken to that extensively and to say what we are doing about that in consultation with the entity. Status on grant funding, we have just received appeals, so I'm highlighting that within the process of funding by the entity, we are still receiving a sizable number of appeals. As the department, we are still currently looking at those appeals as they have to be routed and be considered finally at the minister's desk. Perhaps we shall be able to report in the next report on the outcome of those appeals. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DDG. Chair, with your permission, we will now then go into pairs. We thought it's a good idea to give the committee an overview of PESP overall, beside focusing on NAC. Obviously, the main presentation from NAC will then go into what they do as an entity, in as far as PESP, the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program, is concerned. Ludwig, are you able to load the presentation for me? Chairperson, while I wait for Ludwig to then load the presentation, just allow me to indicate that this presentation, which I will try and go through quite quickly, talks to the five entities that are implementing PESP, inclusive of NAC. Ludwig, are you winning or am I not audible?
It's just not saying anything.
I'm also trying to see whether he's not lost connection, Chair.
Mm.
Yes, I'm trying to load ADG. Thank you for your
time. Hey.
I think it's fine now.
Oh.
Unless I
colleagues, we can hear you. We can hear you. Please mute. We have this presentation. If you move on to the next slide, Lodwick. So what I was saying, Chair, is that we have this presidential employment stimulus program, and I see that the slides are not moving. We have this presidential employment stimulus program that we are part of the government efforts post the COVID-19. The members of the portfolio committee, perhaps those that were there, would recall that we had received this PES funding from the first cycle, which was PES 1. Not to please move, it's not moving on my side, which was, we've gone through three cycles. We are now on cycle 4, and for ease of reference, we refer to this as PES 4. Just you will see that we are using the terminology a lot just to explain what this is all about. So three financial years ago, this is the fourth financial year. We seem to be struggling with this presentation, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether it's my network or overall, because the slides are not moving. Ludwig. And we can also see your entire screen.
Can't you assist the Tabu?
Yes, Chair. I'm going to load it now, Chair.
Okay. Thank you.
Ludwig, you have to stop sharing so that Tabu can load.
Recording stopped.
Okay, which slide are we on again?
I just go to right to the beginning. Just go right up to the beginning. I was just starting. Yes.
Okay.
And perhaps you can put it on slideshow, and I'll just guide you through.
Okay, noted, ADG.
So while Tabu is getting this, somehow my presentation seems to be not willing to be flighted. So when we move to the next slide, which will be the background, what we're highlighting there is the last financial year allocation, which was cycle 3, which we refer to as PES 3. How much was the allocation? Tabu, even though it's not on slideshow, are you able to just move to the next slide?
I'm struggling. Yeah, I'm trying as well in my editing.
Okay.
I'm struggling to put it on a slideshow, and the other one's going to load up.
Okay, but I hope it's visible to the leadership.
Can we allow you to talk to the slides?
Okay.
Please.
Okay, thanks, Chair. So basically what I was saying is that the last financial year allocation was 440 million, and this financial year, the total allocation is 462 million. And that is the PES 4 that we are talking about, implemented by five entities. The next slide is then giving a breakdown of that total amount that we're talking about. And you will note that the entities that are implementing is National Arts Council, National Film and Video Foundation, National Heritage Council, National Museum, which is also called the Art Bank, Business and Arts South Africa. So those are the five entities implementing PES 4 last financial year and also this financial year. And what we've done, just back a bit, go back a bit, what we've done also, Chairperson and members, is out of the lessons we learned during the cycle 1 in particular, the department has then, as of the last financial year, set up what is called a PMU, the DSET Project Management Unit. And about 2.7 million of that amount goes towards the functioning of this PMU. We have got three officials, two at the level of a deputy director and one admin officer who's supporting the service. So these are the ones that are now on day-to-day basis working with these entities. Just to highlight, because we are talking about NAC, out of the 462 million of this financial year, 190 million is allocated to the National Arts Council. So in terms of the presentation that was done by DDT Chikwatamba, the 131 million is the normal grant funding, but this is the special funding that is ring-fenced specifically as an intervention of government. So if we look at the next slide, we speak to the job creation. So I'm not reading out all the numbers. I'm just summarizing, Chairperson. So basically here, the intention and the main objective of a Presidential Employment Stimulus Program is to create jobs. However, as we always emphasize, it needs to be understood that the functioning of our industry, the cultural and creative industry, is such that it is based on an employment multiplier model, which is what it is referred to, unlike when you look at other industries in terms of how they function. So based on the employment multiplier model, this is the jobs that were then created last financial year. You can see
recording in progress.
Out of the 24,400 that were planned or projected, the actual number of jobs created was 87,860. 21,000 of those jobs were created through the National Arts Council. The projection for this financial year are based on last year trends, as you can see. So we base them on the cycle three performance. So what is expected out of the entities is to then deliver using that model that I spoke about on 87,800 jobs. And we have modeled it against the last year trends, as I say. So Chairperson, I would not then take too much time of this meeting. Suffice to say, if you look at the next slides, this is where we then take you through what National Museum, the next one, National Museum are doing. And very briefly, we indicate that, for instance, with National Museum, their approach is three-pronged. They create jobs through the sub-program called Art Creating, where they commission work from the artists. Visual artists are what is serviced in this particular category. They commission work from them. In other words, they buy work from visual artists. And that is the artwork, which is then used for corporate and for other diplomatic visits and the like. So that is how the artist will then benefit from that. Work-based experience, that is the interns that are placed all over the country by the National Museum and the mentorship program. The mentorship program was one of the lessons that we learned coming out of the previous cycles, because the quality of the network, but also the mentorship of the artist became very important, so that ultimately the artwork that they produce is of the standard that can be used in what I've just mentioned. So if we go to the next one, I won't take you through each and every slide. Let's go to BASA, then slide number 8, please. The other entity is BASA. BASA focuses on entrepreneurs. If you look at this, their approach, for instance, for this financial year is they actually disbursed funds in two cycles. They sent out a call in the beginning of the financial year in April, and they are already processing those particular payments. If you look at the next slide, they have already sent out a call for cycle two, which actually went out last week in this particular month. So this one focuses on enterprises within the industry. And that is a specific focus of BASA in as far as PESP is concerned. The next entity is the National Heritage Council. Then, as I always say, National Heritage Council is a new baby around this block because they had not been part of Cycle 1 and Cycle 2, PESP 1 and PESP 2. So they came on board as one of the department's funding agencies. We actually then roped them in and they started implementing PESP last year, which was PESP 3, and they actually have struggled a bit in terms of getting it right. But at this point in time, with PESP 4, I do believe they've now learned. They also learned from the other entities because every 2 weeks, Chairperson, we have meetings with all the entities where they are able to present and we monitor all the categories. So by categories, we are talking demographics. We look at the gender split in terms of the beneficiaries and the benefits of the program. We look at cultural domains, as you will see in the presentation by NAC. And from there, each and every entity is able to pick up the best practices. So this is how far the National Heritage Council, without deliberating and staying on them, slide 13, this is how far they have now gone. You'll remember that when we send the presentation to you, we send it quite early. So I think around the 28th of August was when this presentation was due. So that is where NHC was at that particular stage. But as of now, they have actually started with the contracting as the project plan indicates. Number four is the National Arts Council. Out of the five entities, and I'm not going to speak to them, Chairperson, because they are going to go into detail in their presentation, but we just gave a high-level view of where they were on the 28th of August when we sent through this presentation, but they will delve deeper into their presentation. The last one is the National Film and Video Foundation, who this time around have taken on the project of digitization. So NFVF are doing two projects. The one is the normal PESP funding, which is stream one, stream two, stream three. I'll speak to those streams, which they have been doing even in the other cycles. But this financial year, through the heritage unit in the department, we have given them an additional 20 million for them to continue with the digitization of archival material, which is the project they started in Cycle 1. So that's the additional 20 million that has gone through to NFVF. So in the next slide, we just give indication of the other area. This is just the split in terms of stream two, which have already been approved. The stream two is where they focus on funding, training and development projects within the multimedia and audiovisual cultural domain. So when we say stream two, that is proposals that are to do with training and development. And you can see the split there. Just for information, the next slide is stream three, which focuses on marketing. Anyone who is sending a proposal that is to do with the marketing in the space of multimedia and audiovisual, this is the stream three that deals with that. And you can see the split. These have been approved. What they are finalizing now is the next slide, which is stream one. This is the main area, because it deals with the aspects that are related to the actual film production. And it overlaps into two financial years sometimes, because it can take 6 to 12 months for the entire film that is produced, depending, obviously, whether it's a documentary, which is a short film, in other words, or it is a full production. So, Chairperson, with such, we will take you through that just to give a sense of the extent of work that is being done within the space of the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program, which is our belief that it has actually made a lot of difference in as far as creation of jobs, obviously using the model that is used within this particular industry. And over the 3 years, and the fourth year being this one, those are the jobs, as we indicated, that have been created and the organizations within the industry that have been funded. I would want then to stop here with our overview as a department chair, and I believe I'll hand back to you for NAC then to go into the detail regarding their role. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much, Acting DG. Now is the time that we must give it to NAC. NAC.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Before I actually get into the PSP report, I also would like to note, Chairperson, that we do have Councillor Nisa Malange and Councillor Kim Matthews with us today as well. Chairperson, we were honoured by the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture to be given this responsibility once again to implement the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program, which for this year we named it PSP4. And industry has welcomed this intervention, given the feedback that we've received from the artists. They really are truly grateful. For this year, Chairperson, Council and Management took a decision to announce PSP4 early. And this was just so that we can make sure that the artists are able to implement their programs or projects in accordance to the national days as much as possible. I am also pleased, Chairperson, to report that the NAC did successfully implement the PSP4, and we met all the targeted dates that we had set and communicated to the industry. As you'll see in the presentation today, we do continue to receive a large number of applications, Chair, and I think this is just a testament of the capacity building and marketing efforts of the funding services that are provided by the NAC that we continue to implement. The large numbers really do show the continued need for funding in our sector. But what is, I think, more pleasing to us are the higher number of compliance applications that are coming in and those that actually have merit. Again, this is just showing us that the messages that we continue to share around compliance and submitting quality applications are actually being well received, as we can see with the applications that continue to come in. Another specific focus of Council has been around ensuring that the underserved provinces gain access to our funding as well. And as such, the NAC team, led, of course, by management, has, done a very serious drive around going to the rural areas to educate artists on how to apply to the NAC. And this, Chairperson and members, has resulted in an increase on the number of applications that have been received from these underserved provinces. With that said, Chair, I would like to hand over to our CEO, our interim CEO, Ms. Julie Dipofa, to take us through the presentation. Julie, please, can you take over now?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me extend my greetings. Let me show my video for a short while. I hope, Honourable Chairperson, you're able to see me with the Honourable Members.
Yes, we will see you. Thank you.
Greetings to you, Honourable Chairperson, and to the Minister and the Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Members in this committee. I'd also like to extend my greetings to our esteemed Council members, colleagues from the Department, and also colleagues from the NAC. I will then just shift straight into my presentation.
Julie, can you go to slide mode?
Okay, it is in slide mode. Can you see now?
I can see it now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. My presentation's outline will cover NAC objectives, some sector highlights for this financial year, background to PSP4, the statistics of PSP4 applications, the budget allocation per discipline that the NAC has at its disposal. We'll also go through the PSP applications review processes and also present the number of approved applications and their allocations. I will also talk briefly about the contracting process and the disbursement of the funding, touch on appeals, and also acknowledge the important stakeholders that has actually contributed to the success of processing PSP applications. These are the objectives of the NAC Act, Honourable Chairperson. I will not want to read them through. Suffice to say, members have had a view of these objectives of the NAC Act as of the NAC as they are contained in the National Arts Council Act. Coming to sector highlights, Chair, we have a quadrant there with four sections, which actually indicates the creative industries mandate. We have the audiovisual and interactive media, which is not in the purview of the National Arts Council. However, the other three quadrants that are not red in color, the green and the blue and the light blue, actually represents the arts disciplines or the sectors that the NSE is responsible for. These are visual arts, craft and design. We also are involved in supporting literature in the form of publishing and writing materials. Also, we support the performing arts, which includes music, dance, and theater. So suffice to say that we are responsible for at least 75% of the arts disciplines in the creative industry sector. And this this quadrant is actually according to the Master Plan 2040 of SACO. Coming to the PSP, the presidency made another implement stimulus program available to the National Arts Council. We have also successfully implemented PSP3. And this mandate was also given to other funding agencies of the department. The PSP 4 itself was aimed at providing economic stimulus to the sector to support their initiatives that create jobs in the creative and cultural sector. More than the creation of jobs in the specific sector of the creative industries, it was also anticipated that these job opportunities will actually go beyond the sector and have a multiplier effect in a case where, for instance, a project is doing a festival or an event, and beyond the art sector itself, cleaners will be employed, security companies will be employed, and as such, then it creates employment beyond the sector. But this forms part of the government's intervention to reactivate the sector to economic recovery and reconstruction. Honorable Chairperson, because we were informed of this impending PSP4 last year, we then deliberately advertised the call earlier on the 20th of February 2023 to ensure that, you know, once the results are released, practitioners who would like to start their projects earlier, observing national important days, Women's Month, Youth Month, and so forth, could also even be covered, including other festivals nationally and internationally. We received a total of 4,752 applications across the seven disciplines that the NAC is responsible for. The value of these applications was at 5,087,263,146 rand. So this is quite a huge number, representative of what the monetary value of this, what the sector needs. By the closing date, which was the 31st of March, we received the 4,752 applications, and after the initial stage of review, 2,712 applications actually served at panel. These are the compliant applications that are forwarded to the various advisory panels to review, adjudicate, and score, and make recommendations for funding. These 2,712 compliant applications were valued at over 2.3 billion. We also had applications that failed at compliance stage, and these were 2,040, and we have since issued the general decline letters to them, actually prior to the announcement date. The reason why doing this is really to ensure that we don't have, you know, close to 5,000 people anticipating results and waiting. And at the end of, you know, the announcement, they find that the applications were non-compliant. So we inform them quite rightfully on time to say the applications were not compliant and therefore did not reach the panel for review. When comparing the previous year's applications, which were at 4,765, we noticed that we have actually received slightly less applications this year by 13, which represents 0.27%. And we actually expected this in the sense that there were other applicants that were still implementing the project when the call went on, and those applications would obviously not be eligible for funding. And we've actually even realized that some applications, because they're disgruntled that they are not able to receive the funding from the NAC. I mean, later when I'm going to present statistics of what we received against what we have funded, you will see that the demand is quite high, and perhaps people could be losing interest in applying for funding because of budgetary restrictions. Applications came through the grant manual system, the grant management system, which is our online application system. And we also made available manual application forms for members of the community, of the arts community, that have connectivity issues, that are not able to have the infrastructure to apply online, to fill in their applications physically and submit to the NAC. In this process of review, we often get duplicate applications that are submitted, and it can be quite difficult actually just to see at face value whom these are, but we do a verification process through the IDs of applicants, through project names and email addresses, and we're able to, and this verification is able to spew out names of applications, be those individuals and organizations that would have submitted multiple applications, to ensure that we only fund one of them and not all of them, because practitioners tend to send multiple applications to the NAC. This is just a diagrammatic representation, Honorable Chairperson, of the NAC important dates. We opened the call on the 20th of February, 2023, and we let it run for 6 weeks and closed on the 31st of March, 2023. And the announcement date was 31 May, 2023. In terms of the funding available, it was 182,400,000, and the number of arts disciplines that we support, there is 7, and these disciplines are music, dance, theatre, multidiscipline, visual, arts, craft, and literature. This slide shows the number of applications per art discipline. In the craft sector, we received 455. Dance 317, music 1,116, theatre 564, visual arts 365, multidiscipline, which is the biggest discipline. We received 1,664, and literature 271, making the 2,752 applications that we have received. This slide shows the provincial representation of applications that are saving at panels that were reviewed by the panels. Eastern Cape, 255 applications were compliant, requesting over 193 million. Free State, the number of applications compliant, 259, requesting over 173 million. Gauteng, 790 applications were at the hands of the panels, representing or requesting over 753 million, KwaZulu-Natal 419, requesting over 304 million, Limpopo 296 applications complied, requesting 224 million and above, Mpumalanga 212, requesting 162 million, Northwest 257 applications were compliant, requesting over 226 million from the Northern Cape, 94 applications complied, requesting over 88 million. Western Cape, 130 applications were compliant, requesting over 191 million. And the value of all the 2,712 applications that were at the hands of the panel members requested over 2.3 billion. This slide shows the budget allocation that we have for per discipline. We received 190 million for PSP4, and the allocation for for those cohort of applications amounted to 182,400,000 rand after the deduction of 4% of that figure of 190 earmarked for the administration costs of implementing a PSP. The budget split per discipline is really informed by the request that we get from the sector, and we apportion them according to what the sector is really requesting. So for craft, we gave them over 18 million, which represent 10% of the budget, dance over 14 million, representing 8%, literature over 13 million, representing 7.5%, multidiscipline, which is the biggest discipline, we gave them 29%, at over 52 million. Music, we allocated 22%, being over 40 million. Theatre, 13%, at over 23 million. Visual arts, 19 million, which represents 10.5%. Coming to the applications review processes, general observations are that council has really done a lot to ensure that there's maximum participation of art practitioners in applying for funding. And what council did was to remove barriers to the application process that have been previously encountered by artists. The barriers that have been removed, for instance, number one is the submission of a tax clearance certificate at the time of application, because this really has no value at the application review process. This is only valid at the time of payment. So we require this at the contracting stage only when we are about to make a payment transfer. The tax clearance certificates were required previously at an application process, and because we really want to ensure that applicants comply fully, if they didn't have a tax clearance certificate, applications would then be turned down. But because we have removed this, applicants are not being precluded for accessing the application process. We have also removed the requirement for audited financial statements, because we do require to see these statements once we have given the funding to beneficiaries and when they are about to report as such. So the argument here really is that the audited financial statements are not really quite helpful, and many of the practitioners do not even have them, particularly when coming from the COVID era, then they were not able to submit these financial statements in the respect of the compliance requirements of the NAC. We have also now moved to the 12-month requirement for ID copies to be valid for 12 months in terms of certification. This was initially 6 months. We are really cognizant of the fact that not every applicant lives in metropolitan or urban centers or townships where infrastructure, resources, transport is easily available to be going up and down to renew the certification of applications. So we deem it still quite valid if it's valid for at least 1 year. Despite the efforts that we have made, we have also noticed that a lot of applications, as you would have seen in the numbers, over 2,000, do not still reach the panel adjudication stage. For various reasons, for instance, ID copies not certified, you know, at the application stage. It could also be CVs also not being submitted at the application stage. Now, coming to the review and adjudication, the first level of review, just to explain, is that applications, before they land onto the hands of the panel, they are reviewed for administrative compliance. And once they've passed that stage, then they are forwarded to the respective advisory panel members who will then review the application and score them according to the set criteria that we have defined as the NAC. The outcomes of applications at compliance phase, as I've explained earlier, they were received prior to the final outcomes release date, because we needed them to know prior that the applications were not successful, they did not reach the panel, and as such, they did not need to wait an extra month before they can know whether their applications were successful or not. And those that were reviewed by the panel will receive letters based on technical reasons, those that we've got low and could not meet could not fully meet the assessment criteria as reviewed by applicants, and those, of course, that have scored very well and sufficiently, but we could not allocate funding to all of them due to budgetary restrictions. One of the principles that we have set and observed was that PSP and NAC defaulters or those with outstanding projects would not be funded. So if projects have not been completed or reported on fully, they will not be eligible to apply or to actually even receive PSP4. Duplicate applicants, we have seen this year in and year out. We will not be finding any duplicate applications, and we whittle this out through the verification processes that I have described earlier. Provincial representation is quite important, also focusing on marginalized areas, rural areas, farm areas, across all the disciplines. We really need to ensure that there is a provincial representation in the allocation of the funding to the various provinces, with particular keen interest being placed on the 6 marginalized provinces. Conflict of interest, where staff members, panel members, and council members are not eligible for grants in their own personal and capacity and organizational capacity. We've also noted that applications or applications that panel members would review, they would need to declare interest before they even read the applications. So it is at two levels. The grant management system, once a panel member declares conflict of interest, it actually removes that application automatically from the assessor. So they will not even assess the application that they are conflicted in. And number two, when they sit at meetings, they would really have to recuse themselves when discussions and recommendations are made in particular to those applications. We do note that this policy does not apply to ring-fence funding, because the principle of conflict of interest does not apply in this circumstance. This slide actually gives the total breakdown of the applications that were approved in this financial year. We have approved a total of 637 applications. And these actually represent a slight increase from last year's allocation, where we allocated 620 beneficiaries. So there is a 2.7 increase in the allocation that we made from last year. So in terms of provincial representation, we have approved 66 applications from the Eastern Cape, representing 10% of the budget allocation. Essentially meaning that the Eastern Cape received over 19 million. Free State, 58 applications were approved, representing 9.2% of the budget, depicting 17.9 million really being allocated to the Free State province. Counting, 119 applications were allocated, over 26 million, representing 19.7%. KwaZulu-Natal, 96 applications approved, representing 15.4% of the allocation at 25 million. Limpopo, 72 applications approved, representing 10.8% of the allocated budget, receiving over 19.8 million. Mpumalanga, 70 applications approved, representing 9.6%. Percent at over 18 million. Northwest, 60 applications approved at 19 million, representing 8.9%. Northern Cape, 38 applications approved, representing 5.9%, 14 million allocated to the province. Western Cape, 58 applications approved, representing 9.7%. And in financial terms, 19.6 million allocated to the province. So this is a provincial breakdown of the 637 applications. This slide shows the discipline breakdown. The craft discipline received 85 applications. That's the 18 million that was allocated to the discipline to fund with dance, 69 applications. Being funded with over 14.5 million, literature 104 supported, with a budget of over 13.6 million. Multidiscipline, which is the highest discipline, 119 applications approved to the value of 52.8 million. Music 109 allocated over 40 million. Theatre 78 allocated the value of 23.7 million. Visual arts 73. Allocated 19.1 million. So that's a breakdown for the discipline of the 637 applications approved. This slide, I will not really read the numbers, but it gives a breakdown of how many individuals we funded in each of the disciplines and how many organizations we funded in each of the disciplines. The total number of individuals that benefited from this PSP is 330 million, valued at 76.9 million. And the grand total for organizations supported is 307, valued at 105 million and above. The contracting and disbursement of funding, quite importantly, once funding has been approved, we actually gathered around the beneficiaries of NAC funding and took them through a post-funding workshop prior to the contracting to support them and to help them and understand the next activity that they need to undertake, meaning to revise, you know, the budget activities, to revise also the schedule of plan according to the funding that has been allocated to them. And these post-funding workshops took place between the 5th and the 9th of June. It was actually even quite important that we go through these processes because we have noted that some beneficiaries become overzealous and overstate the number of jobs that they will create without really thinking realistically. So these workshops were really to assist them to say, with this amount of funding that you have, realistically, this is the number of jobs that you can create with the funding and not to overextend themselves unnecessarily. From then on, the contracting of new approved beneficiaries began from the 10th of June to the 30th of July this year. And we also prioritized at the beginning stage of contracting and payments transfers to those projects and beneficiaries who are going to participate at the National Arts Festival, participate in Youth Day events, and other festivals that were taking place during the month of June so that we do not delay the get money and they begin with their rehearsals and their project activities. So this we prioritize them first in terms of contracting. The funding is really earmarked until the end of the financial year. So beneficiaries are required to implement and conclude their project before the 31st of March next year. Coming to appeals, we really have engaged the department in this area because we know that applicants rightfully have a privilege to appeal for funding if they are dissatisfied with the outcomes of funding from the NAC. However, due to a Treasury directive, there was no provision for appeals in this regard. Coming to acknowledgements, and we really wish to state and acknowledge the presidency for allowing the NAC and the art sector, the whole of the arts industry, to benefit from the funding that the presidency has created. We also wish to acknowledge and thank the National Department of Sports, Arts and Culture for entrusting us with this funding to implement again in this financial year. We also wish to acknowledge council members who've been there to support, you know, management and the advisory panels in the processing and applications review and approval and of these PSP applications. We have the panel chairpersons, including the panel of chairpersons committee that actually have an overview, review of the overview of what the panels have recommended, and they've really worked hard in this regard to ensure that there is success in completing the projects. The panel chairs have sat, you know, on various days with advisory panels, going through the adjudicated applications and making recommendations for council to approve. For the management team, acknowledging them for working collaboratively as a team to ensure that we deliver this PSP according to the timelines that we have announced to the sector. The advisory panel members who have actually worked hard reviewing, you know, over 2,000 applications. So we know that they spend sleepless nights adjudicating and scoring and making comments on each of the applications that they have reviewed. To the NAC team, for their commitment, for their dedication, selflessness in ensuring that we pull this through once again and we succeed. Thank you. Chairperson, I'll hand over to you for any concluding remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO, and I think you've articulated the presentation well. May I please hand over back to the Portfolio Committee Chairperson? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lieutenant Member Dlamini. I'm sorry. Now, can I take this opportunity to take back to the honorable members that now this is a presentation, and as I'm seeing the hands already, let's try that. We must give each other enough time to ask questions. Don't ask 10 questions whilst others, they are still going to ask questions, because we have got this thing of taking bus to Parliament. So I'm bleeding. You rather have a second bite than asking more than 4 questions per member. But I don't want to detect how many questions. But the problem, this is a very interesting presentation with details. So I'm having a hand of Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Sibiya, Honorable Mthethwa, Honorable Adams, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Mamabulo, Honorable Denise, Honorable Veronica van Dijk, in that order, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chair. We welcome the presentation. Chair, I wanted to find out what have they learned on the first phase or second phase that they must contribute, or that they must see to it, which it address all the gaps. Can they share with us what they've learned on the previous steps? And one thing that I wanted to find out, what was the reason for not allowing AMA appeals? Can they give us information? What was the treasurer saying? Why don't we have to applicant or beneficiary to have AMA appeals? And to the department and both even to the NAC, when is the ETA for implementation of the white paper? Because you have now interim position, you're saying interim 6 months, after 6 months you'll review. Can you have an ETA when we are going to implement the white paper? Why I'm saying that even the CEO, that we have been acting in the Hollywood, both DG acting, both NAC CEO acting and other position acting, which is it's uncalled for. It's more than a year now they've been acting. And we don't need actors. We need people who are responsible that will take care of the entities and the department. So I want to come to this issue of the former NEC member, which is not NEC, National Council member, Otsepo Mushaini. This issue has been unresolved. What is the status of this issue? Because I read that he won the internal processes, the HR processes, and the appeal. what is the status of the case, and then how far is it, and then we'll take it from there. And how much has been used, taxpayers' money, to fight this case to date? Because there's been fighting. He was a member of council, he was a staff member. Is he getting paid or not to date? If he's getting paid, why are we paying someone officially? Why this must not be resolved outside court? And can they be open to us? Because we have information. If you're not open to us, I'll get a second bite and then I'll take it from there. Thank you very much, because you said I must have a few questions, and I hope I'll have a second bite. And there's no excuse that the bus leaves at 12. We're supposed to leave the meeting at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.
I think, to me, there's no excuse. Thank you, although, Honorable Member. Can I give to Honorable Sibiya?
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. Thanks for your presentation, Chair. In PEPS 3, you have mentioned that the private sector could be approached. I'm just checking whether and there was an idea from Dr. Sithole. How far did you go with Dr. Sithole's idea that the model used in France and Australia could be explored? And with regard to budget allocation to PESP4, what criteria was used to decide the percentage per discipline? The last one, why is that Gauteng has such a huge gap in terms of the number of applications from other provinces? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honorable Sibiya. Honorable Mteto.
Thank you, Chair. good morning to everyone, the Deputy Minister and the Minister, and the staff at DAC and NAC. May I first categorize my questions? I've got many questions, Chair, but I will take them in two phases. For DAC, I want to find out what, when you say the Auditor General had findings, negative findings against, in terms of PFMA and Treasury regulations, what is the prescribed process for consequential management, and what entails monitoring? Because I keep on hearing you saying we are monitoring. Monitoring cannot happen indefinitely. And do you have any turnaround time set for such monitoring or consequential management? The second one, I hear of amalgamating. What is the amalgamation around? What is it about? What entities are you amalgamating? The third one is the court order for reinstatement of Mr. Tshepo Mashiane. It states that you should pay him retrospectively. How much is that? The fourth one is, I saw in your presentation where you speak of top management, but you state zero on all at top management. Does it mean that there's nobody who's employed at top management in terms of the band and the demographics that you were referring to? The fifth one is appeals versus the rollout plan. What happens? What is the situation when one appeals and it takes longer to get approved? And by the time it is approved, the rollout plan has already changed in terms of the project. How do you mitigate that? Because I know that the applications must have rollout plans with time frames. How do you mitigate around that? Let me stop there. I will take the second bite on others.
Thank you, Honorable Mteto. Honorable Adams.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good morning, the platform, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the staff. also colleagues. Let me also welcome the other members by welcoming the report from DSEC and NAC. Chairperson, this is my questions. On page 6, what was the reason for the 2,074 applications, which is such a high number? On page 6 again, what is the plan, noting that there has been a slight drop by 13 applications presenting 30% to ensure that there is an increase to the decline? Page 12, we note the increase from last year's total allocations by 2.7%, and we hope the department will ensure that there is a continuous increase in applications received and that approved by assisting in adequately understanding the process for artists. Last question, what other efforts does the NAC, together with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, embark upon to increase investment in the arts, given the fact that the National Treasury is implementing belt-tightening measures? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. Honorable Zondi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Department, and Honorable Members on the platform, and the NAC. Chair, briefly, I'll be very brief because some of my questions were taken by my colleagues. Chair, the two presentations are welcomed. They are informative, Chair, though they are long, but and they are very informative. And we thank the NAC and the department for their analysis and brief in some, but to the point where we can understand what is the NAC doing and what is the support of the department on NAC. And remember, Chair, that the NAC, when this leadership took over, they were plagued with so many challenges, and I'm happy that they keep going, and we will always support them if they do that. Few questions, Chair. I just want to know that in your analysis, have you gone beyond the deficit on gender, ability, and age, since the unemployment is huge in South Africa? The second one, Chair, there is no mention of the budget constraint in the presentation yet. 370 proposals did not benefit. Presumably, the issue was the budget. The third one, Chair, have you explored other resources that may complement HEPS? And the other one, Chair, is with regard to in terms of advertisement to different disciplines, does the department curb certain disciplines to a specific number in terms of application, or do they just get those fewer numbers because of the discipline being largely active?
Siyabonga, Honorable Zondi, Honorable Mamabolo.
Yeah, go level modula stilo me between Zilani. Ke dumedise maloko ka moka a komiti le ba gore dipapadi bogabole sejo re le mogoding ya bogwa e ya bogabole sejo. O shotsa ka taba tse pedi fela modula stilo. The first one will be around what you call. In fact, we will firstly acknowledge that the president has also made another effort to make sure that we expand this stimulus program, which is going to be available for this patient and then through the National Arts Council. So now, my question will be that this time, how is it going to benefit young people, in particular young people who are in the creative industry, Comrade Chairperson? The other issue which I want to be controversial, but you'll call me to order if I'm out of order, Comrade Honorable Chairperson. This question will go directly to the National Arts Council. Members of the National Arts Council, is there any member of our committee who has benefited from you before? And did that committee, did that member account for the funds allocated to him or her? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mamabolo. Honorable Dennis.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the Ministry, the Department, and all the officials. Chairperson, I just would like to start off with the comment on the audit findings, particularly the internal control and the role of senior management. It seems to me in many entities that is still an issue, internal control. And the comment I want to make, the slides that points to the council members and the various skills that they have on the council, if I go through that, there is no reason why senior management should not do what they must do, you know, the roles they must play. So I think it's it is something that I think the department must just note that all these people appointed have very, very high skills to do what they must do. Chairperson, and then I welcome the attempts by the department on the merger of the NSC and the Film and Video Foundation. My question here is, will there be any cost saving in the merger and how much it will be to streamline the functions of the CEO and the CFO? Chairperson, I would like to just ask the question, I think it was slide 12 for the NAC. What is the minimum amount that requires audit financial statements, the amount they do allocate to these various sectors and disciplines? What is the amount that requires audited statements in terms of financial laws or treasury rules? And then my last question, Chairperson, on slide 14, I think it was the conflict of interest rule that is not applicable to ring fence funding. I think we must go back to that slide that refers to ring fence funding, and I speak under correction, but I think it's probably over, I'm guessing now 2 billion, but I'm speaking under correction. I just wanted to know that amount so that one can ask then why there is this rule that a conflict of interest rule is not applicable to the ring fence funding. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis. Honorable Fundek.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I also welcome the presentation. My questions are as follows. Slide 3, under the budget allocation for PSP 3 and 4, that project management unit, the department, according to that slide, it seems as a department for that they received more or less 5 million, according to the slide. How much money in total went to the 5 identified distribution entities for the administration processes? My second question, slide 4, projected jobs created and actual jobs created. I just want to know how that is measured and if there is has any long-term employment been created. My third question, is the list of the beneficiaries identified by the 5 distributing entities per entity and their projects available on the online platform? If not, can it be made available? And then I also want to know how many of these applicants
have received money in the past and how many times have they received funding, if there is a system in place to regulate this. And basically the same question is on the National Film and Video Foundation, where can we see what projects were approved? And then also who's doing monitoring to see whether the money allocated is indeed spent on what it was requested for? It's basically in general, how is monitoring done and what happens to those applicants that may abuse the money? Is there a platform to red flag them? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Fantek. Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings again to all members in the platforms, in the platform. Chair, will please bear with me because I was in and out. If maybe I will be repeating a question that was asked before. My question, it will be based on the issue of the on slide 12. I'll just like to comment on the council to make sure that they've removed the barriers to the applications that have been previously encountered by the artist. Let me say I am uploading them because there were challenges last time, but I just want them to make sure that on the issue of tax clearance, the audited financial statements, these things doesn't make them that maybe at the end of the financial year when they are audited, so that they will find out that there are challenges when it comes to auditing. It will give them a finding on the auditing. But if it don't give them, I applaud them for doing that on removing the issues of the barriers. The other matter that I want to speak about is under page, is it slide 14, where it speaks about defaulters. But here it speaks about PEP and NAC defaulters or those with outstanding project will not be funded. I just want to check who are those people who are having projects that are not done. Can we get the list so that we are aware, so that maybe, because some other times we'll receive information from members or people outside the committee that seek responses, but if we don't have so much information, some other times we'll have challenges. So I just wanted to find, and also to ask the department, because it speaks about defaulters, whether the departments do have also defaulters of those who have been funded but not done, because this issue of project, if we can check, the aim of this PEST is to make sure that it creates employment. So if a project is not done, it means there will be challenges. So I just wanted to check on that. The other matter is that I just want to find out from the department and the ANC on bringing up the new people from the market. How do they make sure that they fund these new people? What do
There's no ANC. Point of order, Chair. Point of order.
NAC.
Yeah. You know the
ANC with Trailer
Apologize. 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 You know. Hey, copy and paste. Apologize. NAC. NAC, you know, to represent something, you know, wherever you go, you need to represent that thing. So my apology, NAC. So I just wanted to check to say the department, let me just go back on the issue of the defaulters, whether if the department is having those kind of defaulters, those people who are not maybe completed their project, how do they handle them? Because I can see NAC, it says it doesn't fund them anymore. So that can we have those projects and the owners of those projects, who are they? So that we can check on them, because next time it will give us a challenge. The other thing that I want to check is that when the department presented, it spoke about status, about appeals, that it has received appeals from the appeals committee, it is submitted to the minister, is awaiting approvals. But also on the NAC, so I just want clarity, because they said there's no provision that has been made for appeals. in accordance with the National Treasury Directive. So I just wanted to be clarified on that matter to say what are those appeals that the department is dealing with and why there is no provision for appeals in the NAC. Why? Because I can remember last there were appeals they were given, because if you are not satisfied wherever the government allows that, the person if is not satisfied in any challenges, he can do an appeal. So I just wanted to check why there are no appeals. Those were my questions. Oh, the last one, Chair. It's also based on the uncompleted project to say, because they're saying this, it must be, all the project must be completed by 31 March 2024. What will happen if they're not completed all? Thank you. Is there going to be any extension or what will be the consequences? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maluman. Can I ask all of you that you must lower your hands in order that I must not be confused with the, what you call, legacy hand. Yes. Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you to the Minister. Thank you to the NHC, not ANC this time. I've heard other members really asking and wanting that the NAC must give exact information. Last time you reported here on the same thing about interim of ECEO and ECFO, I would love to ask why are they not appointed, are you not appointing permanent people until this time? And what are the implications on finances? Do you give them acting allowances, or what is implication on the operations if until now you are not yet, I've heard when we are reporting, but I'm suspecting we do have a concern. I don't know if you have been here, as other members are saying, it's about a year now. I don't think it's on or on you. Maybe we want to put emphasis that we don't want to see this before this end of this term. With those questions from honorable members, may I give it first back to the minister, and then he will conduct with the relevant team activity and the rest. Now is the time for that.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to members of the Portfolio Committee for their questions and very constructive comments which were made by some. We really thank the NAC for their detailed presentation. We thought we should ask the entity to come and give as much information as possible and to be as honest as possible to the committee. And I think to a very great extent, the presentation has been very honest. Just on quick issues, you recall that after the process of amalgamation, a study was done, and I think that report was presented, and as soon as I took office, that report was presented to me as well. It was presented by the department as well as an advice of how we must take that report forward. We have since taken a decision that that report, we have no other reason not to accept the recommendation of the study. And therefore, we have already been in contact with all entities, like it was reported by TTG Mandisa as well as the Princess, that we're in a process of transition. The DG, I think it's an appropriate time, will share that report. Our view is that our timelines are such that by the end of the financial year, we should have been able to implement to a very greater extent the recommendations of the study with regards to amalgamation of different entities. And we thought you can't, whilst you do that parallel to that process of transition, start appointing council or board members or CEOs. We are in discussion with a number of boards or council members who may not be available for extension if their term can end now, which we think we can extend by, let's say, by the end of the financial year or up to March, April next year. But those are not available. That is something different that we may consider. The CEOs acting as they are, we think that that transition period, because ultimately some of the recommendations of amalgamation will result in one CEO, for example, when you measure. So that process is already underway as we speak. About a few days ago, we met with entities once more to explain to entities how we think that amalgamation, because it may involve a reconfiguration in terms of administration, people being moved around, or some of the people oppositions not appearing in the new structure, which is also a matter that we are discussing. I just thought I should just explain that matter, except to say two things, Chairperson and the committee members. I think the whole idea of PEST, from a point of view of the president, was quite very useful to the sector. It might not have been 100% snow white. It had its own challenges, but I think it was important to alleviate the challenges which were faced by the sector. This was one sector which was negatively affected by the 2-3 years of COVID. I think to a very great extent, PEST was able to make an intervention. One of the challenges, for an example, which I think Princess spoke about, is the issue of multiple application by one person or one entity. In other words, which is a matter that is are lessons from PEST 1, where you just find that this is one person but multiple applications. The issue about cost saving is what we are discussing now, that the amalgamation must save us some money as a department. And I think is a matter that we are considering as we consider amalgamation in terms of which entities will remain and which entities will merge and what positions relevant to the objectives and the mandate of those entities. The other issue, which I'm sure that the both colleagues from a department as well as the NAC will respond to, the issues about defaulters, and I'm sure they will raise that issue, because one of the biggest problems in members of the committee was acknowledging and appreciating the intervention is that sometimes the criticism that you find about generally the principles of funding and multiple applications, the allegation is that you only fund few individuals. But it is those individuals themselves who make this huge criticism in public. I personally, Chairperson, when I walked into the office with the assistance of TM Nontrawa, we had to meet with a lot of people individually, many of whom are very prominent, to ask what is the problem. I got an advice that actually these are the people who have been funded. These are not people who have not been funded. But what is lacking is an exit funding strategy, members. You find somebody who might have been not only with PEST, but with other funding models and projects, somebody who has been assisted by the government for more than 2 to 3 years. That person in 2023 is still being funded. I think there must be a way in which we are working on it now. There must be an exit strategy. If we are to help, particularly the new entrants, those who have been assisted by government, there's got to be an exit strategy, that, because some of them, they are big names, at least they've established their branding in the market. So they've got to find a way to exit from government so that
you allow a new visa, a new mhlongo, a new mthetho to be affected by government. I mentioned those as an example. And that has been the biggest knock in terms of government making a dent in the issues about funding and ability to absorb as many young people in the creative space as possible. And I just thought I should make that point. We continue to meet with them, but my experience is that the more you meet with them, people are making a lot of good noise. Sometimes you realize that it's actually people who have been assisted by government. Some have not been helping the department in terms of accounting appropriately, as it was reported earlier. But I will leave the rest of other issues. The reason, for example, we thought through NAC to remove the barriers, it was part of opening up, because there was this huge cry that some of these barriers, given the nature of the sector, it does not make it possible for somebody from Tunjambini, somebody from Mulechi, somebody from Njelele to have all these documents. Therefore, these documents become a barrier. So it's part of the idea to open up, but in a sense, I want to postulate, it may end up with some problems at the end, but I think it's a matter that we learn as we implement these new measures. But the idea is to open up as much as possible to the most disadvantaged, so that it does not become only the town and urban towns that benefit from these government initiatives. Thanks very much, Chair. The PG as well as NAC may respond to more operational and administrative issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zizi Kodwa, the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture. I will give our DM to round up when we're coming at the end.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the questions. And I thought Minister would also touch on the issue of corporate, because he has been in the forefront in terms of making sure that we make inroads into that particular area. The questions around what we are doing with regard to approaching private sector in terms of looking at further investments into the industry by other funding sources outside of government. They have really been inroads. Obviously, in terms of dealing with that particular issue, we are not approaching corporate to say, can you fund so and so? But we are laying a foundation in terms of creating that enabling environment in engaging corporate and private sector to make them understand how the industry functions, but also to make them understand what their value and the benefit derived would be. So without mentioning specific names, Tepesin, I would respond to the questions from the members related to that, that indeed there are several initiatives to engage, and there is willingness from private sector and corporate to engage with us. We're hoping that the outcomes of these discussions would be positive. In as far as the issue of the funding model, as also mentioned by Dr. Stolle previously, a question from Honorable Member. Chair, the department has commissioned its research wing to do this exercise in terms of doing a research and producing a funding strategy and model, and that was done, and it was finalized at towards the end of this last financial year, beginning of this new financial year. So at this point in time, we have a strategy and a funding model as put together by our research wing, as I say, the South African Cultural Observatory, which has been presented to our executive management team. They also got an opportunity to briefly present to the minister just the high level, you know, elements of this funding model. We were intending to present it to our funding, mainly the performing arts institutions and the funding agencies, but that session had had to be postponed. But we are still intending to present that to those stakeholders first in terms of just looking into the detail of that strategy and the model. So indeed, even though we are not saying it's a France and the Australian model, but in doing the benchmarking and the research and the study that was done by the South African Cultural Observatory, they looked at all the models, but taking into account the dynamics of this country and the dynamics of the industry in South Africa, as it were. In as far as the issues of, I'm sure NAC would speak further to the issue of monitoring, but I also wanted just to come in and also indicate that the issue of monitoring, you know, lies at different levels. There is monitoring that we do at a strategic level, which I made reference to through the bi-weekly meetings we have with CEOs of these entities together with their implementing teams would come and we do presentation and thoroughly interrogate the progress that they are making on bi-weekly basis. However, on day-to-day basis, as I indicated, because we now had set up, again, as I said, arising from the lessons that we learned in the previous cycles of PESP, we then set up this project management unit and they are able to work closely with the entities at an operational and technical level, practically on a day-to-day basis. So as part of the work that is done by this PMU in the department, working with the project teams in each of the entities are site visits. Obviously, we cannot claim that they are visiting all projects, but they take very big samples of these funded projects, and they would physically make site visits to those to confirm existence of those projects, but also alignment to the proposals and the business plans that were funded. So that's the level at which we have taken the monitoring of PESP. And I must say, we also work very closely with the presidency because the same approach that we use as a department in terms of the PMU was actually taken from the approach used by the presidency, who had set up, they refer to it as the PMO, which is the Project Management Office, that monitors the implementation of PESP across government. So the model that we are using is the same as that one. On the issue related, I'm trying to take the questions that were more directed to the department, Chairperson. I'm sure the colleagues would, NAC would adequately deal with the questions that we addressed to them. There was a question from honorable member that was talking about a 2.7 million. He mentioned five. It's 2.7 million per year. I'm not sure whether the five was based on 2 years that the honorable member was mentioning. The 5.4 will be over 2 years. There's 2.7 million last financial year and 2.7 million this financial year that goes towards the work of the PMU that we set up in the department, mainly going towards the salaries of the two deputy directors and one senior admin officer, but also the operational work that they do, which I've just mentioned. The percentage of the administration fee that went to the entities, as NAC mentioned, they mentioned in their presentation that it was 4%. Honorable member, it is 4% across all the entities, the five entities, and it is calculated based on the total amount of funding. It is so it's based on the total amount of funding for that, for this financial year, for that financial year,
for instance, under this reporting period, you saw the figure that was indicated by NAC, and it is based on that 4%, which you would note that we have really reduced the amount that goes towards admin fees, because we wanted the bulk of the funding that we receive for PESP to go towards the project, the beneficiaries, the applicants. The measurements of jobs created and the nature of jobs, as I had said earlier on, if you understand this industry, honorable member, you would understand that what we were talking about in terms of the multiplier model that is used in this industry. So take an example, if there's a festival and you've been funded for a festival, the nature of jobs that are created would in that particular instance be temporal jobs for that week. It could be a few days before the festival and a few days after the festival, but the main jobs created would go towards the day of that particular festival. The nature of the industry is like that. Cultural events that they hold. However, in my presentation, I spoke to examples of projects that other entities that we are using in implementing this. For instance, an example that I cited was that of the National Museum. So even though those are not permanent jobs, however, if you look at the interns, for instance, they would get an opportunity of a period of about 4 months, and in some instances going on to about 6 months. So it's not permanent jobs, yes, we agree. However, this was about the reconstruction and recovery, and it's giving that opportunity in the different formats as it actually informs itself in this kind of an industry that we are servicing. Yes, each entity has got list of beneficiaries. So NFVF, all of them, they do have list of beneficiaries. Those that participated from Cycle 1 would be able to provide the member with their list coming from that period to this period. Those records are kept. Those records are available from each and every entity. And if the honorable member wants us to provide those lists, we are in a position to then communicate with the entities and provide such. I've spoken to the issue of monitoring. I think it came twice from different members, Chairperson, and I've just cited the different levels at which we monitor. The issue of defaulters, I'm sure NAC is also going to talk to that, but I also just wanted to understand, to continue from what Minister is saying. We have a vast challenge when it comes to defaulters. And I think over the years, we have come up with control measures. However, we have records going back, well-known personnel, persons in the industry that you actually, when you go in and you delve into their details, you find that they actually defaulted at a particular year. Now they're coming back thinking that the department had not kept records. So what are we doing at this point in time, Chair, given the extent of this particular challenge? We have put up a project at this point in time. We refer to it as Follow the Money Project, where we have brought on board and created employment for young people. At this stage, we're sitting with between, I think they are now 10, I think they were 6 a few months ago, of these young people that are at the level of project coordinators that have been given a responsibility of really following the money. However, we are not just punitive in our approach, Chair. What we did, for instance, this financial year, we're sitting with about 170 beneficiaries. I'm making an example of the funding that we are giving as a department. And what we have done with these project coordinators, we've divided the project amongst them. And from the onset, they are working with that particular group of beneficiaries that fall under them. What we have included, which is why I'm saying it's not just a punitive approach, what we have included also, Chair, is very much the same as what NAC was talking about, where we have a compulsory induction session, where we take the beneficiary through what is expected. By the time you sign an MOA with us, you need to understand, you have to submit narrative reports, expenditure reports, and what else is actually required. And if you don't do that, we have started now with this Follow the Money project to issue those letters where we are following up on using a legal route now in terms of those monies that are owed. So it's I cannot at this point cite a percentage, but the industry really has a serious problem when it comes to accounting. Chairperson, you get your first tranche of 80% or 90%, because depending on the kind of an activity you want to do, we want to allow you to be able to execute that particular event or activity successfully. So the balance of the 20% or the 10% is what people are failing to account for. They are failing to account for the 90%, and as a result, they don't get the balance of what they have asked for. And we are taking action with regard to this, using this Follow the Money project approach that I am referring to. Chairperson, just lastly, on the issue of appeals. The appeals that DDG Chikwetamba was talking about in her presentation are the normal appeals that apply to the grant funding that NAC is mandated to distribute. So there's an appeals committee that deals with that in line with the act that informs the establishment of NAC. I don't know, maybe DDG would want to expand. However, what CEO made reference to in terms of there being no appeal for the special funding. Last year, when we experienced problems with appeals, we approached the National Treasury. In fact, the National Arts Council wrote to us requesting that they be allowed to set aside a certain amount of funding to actually deal with issues of appeals. And Treasury was very clear to say there is no ring fencing that is allowed in this special funding, because now you are ring-fenced amounts. And they actually went further. They didn't just say no. They actually made a recommendation that as part of the lessons learned, we need to be upfront when we advertise for the application for PESP, where we are actually saying upfront that the process of appeal will not be accommodated. And this is exactly how the whole process and procedure would. So we are upfront in terms of that particular process, given the guidance that we actually received from National Treasury, subsequent to the letter that NAC had written requesting for the setting aside of those funds that will take care of the appeal. So when people are applying for appeals, as the report indicated, I'm sorry, when people are applying for funding, as the report actually indicated, the entire amount that is a special fund for PES goes to the applicants, goes to the beneficiaries that would then meet the requirements. Obviously, it's a competitive process. Those that have got the best proposals will then ultimately get funding, because you have to take into account how much. Even if a government was to give us 5 billion, at the end of the day, there would be those that would be funded, that would get funding, but there would be those that would not. And that's why there's criteria that are used in the adjudicating panels when they execute their work. Thank you very much, Chair. The issues of amalgamation, I think Minister has addressed those things. I would not waste your time with addressing that, because Minister addressed it quite, I think. Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know, Chair, whether you, DDG, I don't know whether you want to just expand a bit more on the matters that I've raised.
No, I'm handing over to NAC.
Thank you, Chair.
More expansion, it's not about your good service, too, maybe. follow up if they feel that they need more clarity or more information. But as I'm listening, starting from the minister to your good self, I'm hearing a very informative one from a minister who's suspecting as the members. We do appreciate what we've heard from himself in this short time being with us. We've been seeing the minister since then consulting. So surely we're hearing now the fruits of consultations. Can I give it now to the NAC?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and thank you to Honourable Minister and Acting TG for also covering us very well with the responses that they've given so far. I would also like to just add in before I ask the CEO to come in. One of the members asked around the capacity within council that currently exists to say, why is it that there is irregular expenditure of around 3 million? I do want to note, Honourable Chairperson and members, that we actually are coming from a prior year of irregular expenditure amounting to 20.1 million. And we have reduced this irregular expenditure down to the 3.7 million. And as it currently stands, we are continuing with this exercise in terms of placing proper internal controls to ensure that, you know, we reduce this amount even further. I also just want to, you know, state around whilst we are speaking about the financials as well, that, you know, we are very pleased that as well as, you know, other, I think, you know, pleasing factors with regards to the Mzansi NPO, which is a matter that had been, you know, sitting in our books. The Auditor General did audit us quite intensively, and they did confirm that we did follow all the procedures and the payments in terms of PFMA, and that funding this year was finally considered perfectly regular. So that is not an issue on our books any longer. I also want to add that in terms of, prior year's irregular expenditure, we had about 37 million that had been sitting in our books, and we have finally as well received condonement from the AG with regards to the, with Treasury with regards to this as well. So, you know, in terms of the internal controls and the system, Chairperson and Honourable Members, we really, really are working very hard as Council together with management to just tighten our belts and tighten our controls to ensure that, you know, we are getting better and better with each and every year. We also had a question that came from the floor from the members with regards to clarification around the conflict of interest matter. I will reiterate, Honourable Chairperson, that it is not considered conflict of interest at the NAC, when funds have been sent through to the NAC for distribution for a particular project or for a particular purpose, if it has not been adjudicated by the NAC. If it is something that has been adjudicated by the NAC, then the conflict of interest arises. But in this particular manner, everything with regards to where the funds, you know, should go to and to whom the funds should go to sits, you know, with the department. And the department is the one that will then inform us to say, you know, these specific amounts, please make sure they are directed to this particular, you know, or for this particular purpose. So that is the reason why the conflict of interest for ring-fence funding does not arise, because we consider those funds to be ring-fence. We had a very, you know, nice question as well that came from the floor around how is the removal of the barriers of access to our funding? You know, how has that impacted us? And the example the Honourable Member had given was with regards to the tax clearance. They were saying, since, you know, Council has, you know, started this imperative around removing the requirement of tax clearance certificates from applicants, has this or is this affecting us in terms of, findings down the line when we are being audited? I would like to confirm, Honourable Chairperson and members, that actually it does not. And this is purely because we have said
we are, I'm saying to applicants, they should not submit the tax clearance certificate at time of application. However, if they are actually considered for award, for an award of a particular amount as a beneficiary at the NAC, they would need to submit their tax clearance prior to getting paid. So it is not that every single beneficiary does not actually submit a tax clearance certificate. If you are successful and you are awarded an amount from the NAC, you will submit a tax clearance certificate. It's just that we don't want a situation where artists, you know, have to go and pay to get a tax clearance certificate, only for them to then be declined, you know, down the line, because unfortunately, you know, that is something that is a cost. So we just try and make it easier so that they can be able to have access to our funding as well. I also would like to add on, I know the Honourable Minister spoke very well with regards to the appointments of executives within the entity. I do wish to, you know, confirm that Council has appointed the CEO and the CFO as interim positions. So we now are referring to them as interim CEO and interim CFO. They were prior acting. And this is just because we, every single time we have an acting position, we then would have to renew it every 3 months. And whereas with the interim, it then has allowed us to be able to appoint them as interim CEO and CFO for a period linked to the conclusion of the amalgamation of the entities, as mentioned by the Honourable Minister. I know there was a question with regards to the issue around the audited financial statements when we're also talking about the barriers of access. Doc, I'd like for you to just quickly come in because you are the chairperson of POCC before I then hand over to the CEO. Dr. Stoller, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, the Acting DG and DG. Yes, I'm going to cover that question, and the Chair also asked me to respond to one or two more questions. I think maybe it didn't come out clearly when the CEO was addressing this matter. What we are saying about the audited financial statements was that the question that we asked as the new council is, well, why would you ask practitioners to submit to the NAC the audited financial statements of their companies or whatever business that they are engaged with in the sector and what they've done in the past, instead of asking the practitioners to account for the monies that we have given to them? That is the only time we would require them to submit financial management accounts or audited financial and statements, depending on the value of the money that has been given to them. So that was really the issue of removing barriers, so that when they've received the grant, then they'll submit to us a financial report that speaks purely to the money that we have given to them. We do have another layer which the CEO will report, which is organizational funding. That is when we are funding over a 3 years, long-term funding for the organizations. We do ask them to submit financial statements, either audited or not audited, according to the value of the money that would be given to them, because we want to see whether they are a functioning organization or not for us to enter into a long-term commitment of funding with them. So that is the answer to that. The Chair had asked me to quickly respond. I want to just dispose of this issue so that the CEO can spend more time on the rest of the questions. There was a question from the Honourable Member on the learnings from the previous PSPs. Let me start by saying that us also as a new council, we came in at that very same time. So there was a lot of learnings from us. But I want to preface the answer by just saying that I was paid a visit by the special advisor to the minister, a gentleman I know very well, Mr. Rengwe. He asked me straight question. He says, Doc, if I were to ask advise the minister, what are the two things that you think are important for this sector? I said to the special advisor, let me just say one thing. We are lucky that in this country, the industry is functional. Practitioners are producing, they are creating, they are exhibiting, they are trading, and they are creating jobs. So across all the art disciplines, people know what they need to do and they are doing what they are needing to do. The only issue we have as a challenge, which we must mention to the minister, is the level of funding. There is not enough money to fund the work that the practitioners are doing. And we learned just from the first PSP, applications worth more than 5 billion rands of applications. And yet we were dealing with just about under 300 million rands. That was our first learning. But we also learned, as it is now with the revised figures, that this very same industry is very big. This gross value add, which has now been rebased from the 2015 calculation of the GDP, is 161 billion rands. That is how much this industry is contributing. Over a million people employed, and it is at the same level, around the same as agriculture and mining in terms of growth. So that is what we have learned. But we've also learned that we need to be very transparent and communicate to the practitioners each process and how the panels have adjudicated, and as the interim CEO was sharing the information. But we've also seen a lot of practitioners crying and pleading with us when they have not been funded, and us also sympathizing with them, but knowing that there is nothing that we can do. The other thing that I'm glad that the minister speaks about how transparent we've been here. I want to say to the honorable members that this appeal process is a facade. There is no appeal. There is no appeal because the money is exhausted at grant approval. It's to its entirety. So when we say the applicants must appeal either through DSEC or appeal through the NAC, we are just lying to them, because there is no money even if the appeal was approved, because we don't set that money aside for appeals. So that is one thing, that's just what we have learned from us. And I then said to the special advisor, we are lucky that we have a minister, Ekhabu Lila, who is very articulate. He must go get us money from Treasury and get us more money, because even the money that the NAC, the value of the applications that the NAC receives is even more than the budget in the ATP APP that I see in the branch of Arts, Culture, Promotion and Development, you know. And then the second thing is that the minister must go and fight with SARS to get the private sector to get the Section 18A certificates, so that they are able to donate to this industry. Because one of the cries that we've received from the private sector is that they want to participate in this sector, but they cannot get a tax break because the arts has not been seen as worth of getting a tax break. And that is another issue that I think needs a proper engagement. Just lastly, through you, Chair, I just want to speak in general about the defaulters. There is one thing that, even last night we were talking at council in preparation for this meeting, that we give applicants two tranches. One is the tranche when they've been approved and they must go and do the work. The other one is the second tranche when they have not, that we wait to give to them when they have completed the work. We have not done the calculation of how much money have people run away with, let alone that we are happy that we can now expire the projects, because now we can use that money for something else. So we can expire projects that are worth 3 million. What if the money that was given to them is 30 million in total, and we have not gone to collect that money? And I have even said that we are in derelict as council, so is management is in derelict for not doing the work of making sure that we collect that money. So that is just my input. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Stolle. Julie, please, can you continue to respond to other questions, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me use this opportunity to respond from the questions that are coming from honorable members. The first one really related to lessons learned. I just want also to add on what the Pastor has actually indicated in this instance. We really prioritize capacity building and funding awareness and assisting applicants to understand the criteria and the requirements of the NEC upfront before they submit their applications. In addition to this, we actually even communicate openly about what the set criteria is so that when they respond, they do respond accordingly as they are going to be scored by the panel members. So it's really about open communications and reminding practitioners about the requirements during the window period when the application is still on. We have so many social media postings reminding applicants of what the requirements are, the countdown towards, you know, the closing date and so forth. So that has been, you know, quite important in ensuring that applicants adhere to our requirements. As part of capacity building, and as I have indicated in my presentation, is that we support applicants because we have learned previously that if they don't know the requirements of the funding, the contractual conditions, we then are going to encounter problems later on when they need to report. So we do have at another level, post-funding, the contracting process, we take them through sessions of what is expected of the NEC and then understanding the contract as well. But we don't even end there, even at the reporting phase. But those that struggle with reporting or understanding what is required, you know, as per the template, we do have sessions with them to support them in their reporting processes. However, if they do not meet the requirements, ultimately, we will term them defaulters, which I will talk to later on. Because the sector is huge and it also has differentiated levels of income, we have actually learned that setting a guiding figure for the practitioners was really a problem because various practitioners command various amounts of money. So we really put it to the beneficiaries to determine a salary or a wage that they want to give to practitioners. One important matter that we actually have learned is just the monitoring and supporting beneficiaries on the ground. Of course, we're not able to see all the projects, but the team also do site visits. They to see the projects that are happening. We also do report analysis. When it comes in, that's part of monitoring to ensure that what they had budgeted is what they've been, you know, spent on. If there's a deviation, what are the justifications? So that's also another level of monitoring that we do. And this open communication is very important because even post-funding, when an applicant is querying and would like to know how they were scored and reviewed by the panel members, we're able to share with them the general comments or their general score, average score, that the panel members would have given to them. If I may continue, there was also a question asked around the former council member, Tapo Mashiani. Let me state that council resolved to take the matter under review, so it is in the hands of the court, and I'm not at liberty to speak about the matter because it is sub judice.
Went up for the chair.
Yes.
I think we have on our rules. This is part of parliament. The sub judice cases, we can discuss them. As long as they're not impinging the other person, we are allowed to talk about them. I can quote to the rule. It's rule 10 of our national rules. Now, it's a sub judice case. It's not a question that we can't discuss it.
And you will not entertain that because they will tell us their rules. Let's not entertain. Let's listen and they are hearing what you are saying. I'm worried that if we're starting to discuss that, we won't finish other responses. We are noting what the responses are and on this point, noting what you are saying. Thank you. Please continue.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also at liberty to share with you, Chair, the report on the issue at hand as well. If I may continue, Chair, there's also a question asked as to the percentage split per discipline, how that is determined. You will see the amount requested per disciplines actually differ. So we take a cue from there to say which sector is really attracting or demanding more funds, looking at the value of applications, the value of requests that have come through and the number of applications per discipline. And we average the percentage in terms of the numbers that have come through so that we know that multidiscipline, for instance, is oversubscribed and therefore we will allocate a larger portion of money towards that discipline. Another question that came through, Chair, was the issue around why Gauteng has so many applications. I think this is a historical issue for the country. I think suffice to say that many of people really, including artists, obviously migrate to urban centers, migrate to metropolitan provinces, and therefore these centers actually then would have more population that is really active in the sector in this case, and therefore a lot of applications would be coming from these provinces such as Gauteng. Our chairperson has really mentioned and given an explanation on regular expenditure and the issues of consequence management, which are in progress at the moment. We are aware and are following up on what the issues are so that we don't incur such an expenditure going forward, and also taking cognizance of the fact that consequence management will need to be implemented in this instance. There was also a question, I think it came from Honorable Adams, in relation to the number of applications that have actually passed compliance and are serving at panels. These actually represent 57%. We have actually seen an improvement in compliance coming from applications. When we compare the figure with PSP3, only 40% actually served before the panel. So clearly the explanations, the engagement with the sector around compliance, the importance of compliance, that is why we're really seeing that there is an improvement. And actually, much more than compliance, the advisory panels have actually commented that the quality of applications has actually even improved in this year. It was such a pity that not all of them could be allocated funding, but it was pleasing to say the compliance rate has gone up, and also the artistic merit of proposals that are coming through has actually improved. Honorable Gwendy asked about gender demographics and the like. We do have, it's just a big spreadsheet that we can share with members, which will actually delineate the number of disability beneficiaries that we have in terms of gender, how many males are getting funding, how many females. And interestingly, in this case, more males are getting funding. We also have age demographics and also racial demographics that we can certainly share with the committee in this respect. The other question, I might have covered it, but I will cover it. I'll just expand on it again. It's why the disciplines, actually the amounts really differ. You would note that the performing arts really are actually oversubscribed. The music discipline, there's a lot of applications that have come through. Multidiscipline, a lot of applications that have come through. So the performing arts are really attracting a bigger value of applications in terms of numbers and also value of what is requested. And hence, there is that variety in terms of the allocations that have been made to those disciplines. In terms of council or committee members that would have gained NAC funding, because we do verification, we do not have anyone who comes from council or comes from panel members who has actually would have benefited from PSP4 in this regard, because we are the numbers, the applications are actually checked and verified to ensure that no council member actually or panel members really benefit from this funding. There was also a question about financials that are required by the NAC. As per the funding guidelines that we have published, our grant maximum, the maximum threshold was 1.5 million. And we have differentiated levels of kind of financial statements that we require. For those that have gotten funding of 1.5 million and above, we would require project audited financial statements. We are cognizant of the fact that we're not going to need organizational audited financial statements because it actually takes quite some time to finalize and report to the NAC on time. So that is why then we request only project audited financial statements, depending on the funding allocation that we have given them. Applications that have been allocated up to 200,000, we do not need any financial statement or expenditure report coming from accountants or bookkeepers. They internally can draw on those and give us proof of expenditure that will suffice. And above that, then we will just need simple financial statements that have been confirmed by a registered accountant. Carrying forward with the responses, there was also a question in relation to the projected jobs and also the actual jobs that we finally come up with. So at the application process, at the application phase, applicants will actually state how many jobs they intend to create with the proposals that they have given to us. And we often do not give exactly what they requested due to budgetary limitations. But when we do give an allocation at the contracting phase, we do require them to state how many jobs they will be contracting. And also at the reporting phase, they need to report on the actual jobs. And that's how we collate our numbers from projected to actual jobs finally created. And I know the ADG has mentioned a bit about this, is that because we give project funding, which spans over a few months, it could be a one-day event, it can be a project that's taking place over 3 months. Therefore, the funding really does not give a long-term job opportunity. So in this instance, it's really short-term. In the case of the NAC, where we offer long-term job creation opportunities, it's in the category of funding of ad organization support funding, because we give funding over a period of 3 years. So it actually becomes quite easy and feasible to create jobs that are slightly over a long term. There was also a question arising, I think it was also from Honorable Fundate, on how many times are we giving funding to a particular beneficiary in the case of the NAC. Our policy really indicates that it's from 5 years onwards, if it's consecutive, consistently over a period of 5 years. However, let me also state that it's not an easy task, because a lot of individuals or organizations that we have observed that we funded them over a longer term, and we implemented the exit for them. A lot of them have really closed down.
Sorry, Chairperson, we can no longer hear properly. I don't know what is happening. Sorry, Chairperson.
What are you saying? What are you saying, Honourable Mamabul?
We can't hear properly. I don't know what is the problem. Maybe it's my network. I'm not sure. Okay, sorry. Thank you.
It's your network, but you're supposed to raise hand. I was going to see you, but I'm suspecting it's your network, because we do hear properly and clearly. I'm suspecting
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I was just stating that because the funding that we give anyway, is we don't fund to full capacity of what an applicant would have requested. Over time, once the funding stops, a lot of performing arts companies actually close down, and we're not able to employ, whether it's dancers or actors, because the funding has died down. I did allude to the kind of monitoring that we really do as the NAC, which includes site visits, analysis of reports, workshop sessions with beneficiaries at reporting at various reporting phases. We're able to monitor the progress of the project that they are doing. And of course, we can only do this to a certain extent if applicants are not, beneficiaries are not able to give us proofs of expenditure, proofs of the expenditure that has left the bank account or other forms of evidence that work has been done or is questionable. We, however, are not able to assist them in that regard. So we would then collate a list of all those applications and we would red flag them, which I may call blacklisting in the language that we are using in this instance. We do have a policy which governs how we are going to, how we should treat these defaulters. One of them being those that really have not accounted for the money that has come out. We really have to, we intend to follow them through legal means and collect the debt for the money that has come out because they would not have implemented the project accordingly as required by the NHD. I think Chairperson and Dr. Stelle did speak about the barriers, which I will therefore split. There was a request that we share the list of defaulters with Parliament. We are currently busy with the list of defaulters. Just looking at PSP alone, we have 50 defaulters that have not reported on the funding. 26 of those have partially reported or their reporting is not satisfactory, and 24 have actually not even reported at all, despite the engagement and follow-ups that we've been doing with them. We, in the funding, we actually do prioritize new entrants to the system. However, it's actually not always easy just to leave out other potential beneficiaries, but we do acknowledge that new entrants to the system needs to be supported so that they can get into the mainstream, grow and advance, and hopefully in the near future be able to stand on their own and not be dependent on funding from the NAC. I will not speak to appeals because I think it was covered. Yes, coming to the close of date of project, which is 31st of March 2024, what the NAC does in this instance, if people are not able to meet that deadline, our policies do allow us to give a 2-month window period for applicants, for beneficiaries to conclude their projects and report on them accordingly. But in the process, we do give support and mentorship in terms of reporting properly to the NAC and also accounting for the monies that they have spent. Failing which, then we would then withdraw a final list of expiry, which will go through the Audit and Risk Committee and Council before we then have a final list of defaulters, which will then have to follow through legal means through debt collectors to ensure that what the NAC had spent in terms of the first grant is actually then paid back to the NAC. Chair, I think I will end here. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Are you all satisfied that you contributed whatever you want to say? If yes, I'm seeing the follow-up hands. Honorable Mthethwa, Honorable Mhlongo, and Honorable Fandile, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome the responses, and I think for the first time, I'm feeling that there is direction, good direction that has been taken by both institutions. I must commend Ms. Julia Dipofa, who responds promptly, and she's easily accessible and very cooperative. Also, the flexibility of ANC to change the compliance standards. It really shows that within ANC, there are people who are coming from the sector who understands how the sector operates. And I want to commend them on that one. Many of my questions, good that I didn't ask all of them because many of them have been responded to. And also, I want to commend the minister. He has succinctly explained the strategy of amalgamation. It has been long overdue, and I support the move 100%. The question that I want to pose is on the issue of the fact that we live in the fourth industrial revolution. Why wouldn't the department consider and all other institutions that deals with funding consider a system that is synchronized that seeks to say if there is funding allocation, a budget allocated for the entire institution, let there be a system that shows that this is how much we have. And as the money is transferred and allocated to different projects, the system shows that this is how much we are left with, this is how much has gone out, so that it is a transparent process that anyone can access and see that, okay, we won't face a situation where we are over, what do you call it, Dr. Stolle, your term, what you experienced on your first PSP, where you ended up having approved many applications when the money was not sufficient. So it will deal with that, that situation. And the second question is, something like what would happen with banks? If you have deposited money, you know you can't go beyond a particular limit because that's what you have in your bank account. So if there could be a system that synchronizes all funding institutions with the department so that the department can also monitor as opposed to finding things at the latest moment that you don't have. And then the other question is that I think it has been also answered, the issue of appeals, because I had somebody saying that I appealed, but I was told that my appeal has gone to the department, which made me wonder, how can the department deal with the appeal when they were not the ones who were looking at the application? Third question is that for me, it is travesty of justice whereby those who have transgressed the law and end up with hefty handshake. We know in the situation of Mangope, it's still the question, why was he paid so much money when she hasn't faced the music, and still there's still an issue pending between SARA and on that issue. The SARA question, why is it still taking so long to resolve that matter? I want to also explain this so that members can also understand. I come from the sector, and sector sometimes it becomes so desperate. Now, can the funding institutions and the department cease from asking people to re-look at their applications? What I said previously, that you apply based on the fact that you want to deliver a Mercedes-Benz, and you are pursued to then deliver that message.
Honorable Mteja, it must be your last comment and your last question.
Yes. It is my last question, Chair.
Okay.
Now, that situation of being asked, in fact, you get approved not even half of what you had requested. Now you have to try and trim your project. But based on desperation, you end up under budgeting your project. And that is a sad, set for failure. I am happy that there are less defaulters than what I would have expected. I would have expected many defaulters than that, because people who end up just desperately saying, putting figures that don't really make sense, and because they are desperate. So I think it is something that you need to look into, to say, rather not give the person funding if the application that he has applied for is above what you think the budget should be. And I don't know what informs NAC or any other institution to say, no, we can only give you 60%. Now, the application process, you know that it requires a concept and followed by a rollout plan. And then you also have budget that you need to do. Now, with the sector, I need to book venues, I need to book artists, and I have to pay deposits. Now, if the approval takes longer and the appeal process comes in, you end up losing that money and end up being indebted to others. So I think it is my plea that we need to look into that. I'm available to look with you at, because these are the challenges that I'm faced with every day. Even myself, I have defaulted because I just accepted the funding when I was told that I am connected. That was the reason I couldn't get the funding. But when there was an appeal, I was then given not even a quarter of that. So I'm very honest. Chairperson, you will appreciate my profile picture that has my hand up, because I'm saying I am reminding myself of why I am here. I have to be honest, because I learned from the mistakes, and those mistakes are not only unique to me. There are many others who have faced the same situation. And I'm happy that NAC is saying it is not punitive. I wish we could have an MOU or a letter that says this is how it
honorable members, you need to protect honorable Teto, I was about to say, now you are addressing your former area where we are coming, which is nothing wrong, but you are taking too much time off all of us. I've just opened the floor until you come to tell us that you are amongst the defaulters, but it's not for us.
Not on PSP, though. Not on PSP, Chairperson, and not
everyone. I'm not saying no one did tell us. Maybe they will. they will tell us what is that. Honorable members, we must bear with Honorable Mthethwa, because he's coming from the sector, but you need also to assist in order that he must not accuse me of saying that I don't want to listen. He must try to be now a member of this committee, not addressing some other things outside there, but will appreciate when we're getting information from himself. Really, he's grounded from that sector. Now, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Mthethwa, there's an overdraft in the bank processes. Maybe they must open an overdraft for you to get more, since you told us that you are a defaulter. On the lighter note, you are
I don't
to
need that.
No, you don't do that, Honorable Mthethwa. Just responding to anyone who's commenting, you did to me and I kept quiet. Now we are responding to Honorable Mhlongo. The procedure in the meeting is that if you want to respond to someone's input, you raise your hand. You just be patient until your term is around. Not just
responding on the spot when somebody is talking. I thank you. I'm sorry about that, Honorable Mhlongo. Please.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mteta, it was on the lighter note, Chairperson, that there's an overdraft and there's a default and the defaulter must pay. Nonetheless, can I go to my question? Chair, I think the acting CEO is not Ageko. He cannot justify Uguti. He must tell us. The question was, can you be open to us? And if the NAC is not open, there's no transparency, we question if good governance. Now I question them, how can they govern to say NAC is top notch? They don't open to us, they don't give us good responses, they will tell us about sub judice. And Chair, we are immune. This is Parliament. This Zoom is a Parliament session. Automatically, they must be open to us now. Icheng is Wuti, they don't want to be open to us on the matter of Mr. Tsepo Masiani. But it remains, this issue remains unresolved to date, despite the fact that internal HR processes and an appeal ruled in favor of him. Even on the 26th of May, 2023, there was a restating order in which he must go back to his position as a manager of the capacity building, but they failed. To date, even NAC is appealing against the CCMA upholding the outcome to reinstate Mr. Mashiane, and they failed to reinstate him even to date. Now it shows what they did not have to tell us. We have information. They don't come clean. Now Chengisani, Unom Konyovu, and they're using taxpayers' money to fight this. They didn't even tell us how much have they used to date. There was a deal that they must give him plus minus 200K to settle it because this was unfair labor practice. It is wrong under the leadership of the NAC that we practice wrong labor laws. It is totally wrong. It's uncalled for to do that. We are undermining, suppressing our workers. Chairperson, can they explain why Mr. Masiane to date is not at work? There were two processes of arbitration, and to date, they rule in favor of him, but he's not at work. How much has been spent to date on legal fees for this to fight this battle? And this is not a personal battle, and they're using taxpayers' money to fight this battle. How much have they used? From which fund are they using this legal battle for? Babasiel, is it on the reserve 60 million rand or what? Where do they use this funding to go to labor court now as I speak? Chair, I wanted to find out, especially to the NAC, how many acting positions we have. I know, Duguti, you are saying after 6 months we'll implement. It's not even a showcase. There's no ETA on the implementation of white paper. There's no clear indication that in March it will be implemented. The minister did not even confirm that, saying after we'll see. And then we know how many acting position under the NAC. And can they tell us, especially the involvement of other position, NAC, who is involved, who? Because we have Hollywood actors in the NAC. Minister, directly to you now, since you came with a good proposal, I support it. If Mhlongo is able to stand for himself, Zinzi can now benefit. Now, Minister, what is your take on the NAC Deputy Chairperson? He's the NAC Deputy Chairperson, he's the CEO of Mzansi, and he's the CEO of KwaZulu Natal Orchestra. And now, don't you see any conflict since you are now in? Because last time I asked, you said, let's pack it. Now you are aware. Don't you see any conflict on this, Mr. Dembe? Don't you see any conflict? I need your honest view, Chair. Last question, Chairperson. On the auditor's report, is Mzansi, because they put it to us that they've got a clean audit report. Can they share that audit report? Was it done by the AG or was it done by a private company? If it was done by a private company, how much did it cost? And can we have the name of that company? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Van Dyk.
Chairperson, thank you. Yes, my questions were also
regarding Mr. Mashiani. I also feel that the issue is long outstanding and unresolved, and the outcome was indeed in his favor. So I wanted to understand why, also how much money will be spent on this to pursue this matter at the Labour Court. And then I want to know, how do they prioritize capacity building at the NAC when they dismissed Mr. Mashiani as the program manager, capacity building? And should this money not rather be the legal fees be spent or going to capacitating the industry? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honourable Van Dyk. Can I start as I've been doing? There's a question which is direct to the minister. I'm aware that I've said DM, you will be responding. If minister felt that DM must respond at the end, it's upon you, ministry.
On Mr. Tembe, I see no conflict.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Can I give it back to the NAC? Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to start with the first member, that honourable member that spoke, with regards to a matter with regards to Sarah and the former CEO Mangope. I just want to confirm that we have concluded our case with Sarah. So a matter related to Sarah and Mangope would then be, related to those two parties and not us. And then secondly, there was a very good question around why do we reduce the funding, versus what the artists actually asked for. And this is just purely because we are trying to distribute the funds to as many artists as possible, but I'm sure the CEO can be able to elaborate on that. And then lastly, with regards to the Mashiani matter, because this is an operational matter that has been handed over to the CEO, I'm going to ask the CEO to respond on that one. Thank you.
Any other responses? Can I give it to our DM?
Thank you very much.
It's DM.
Oh, okay. I thought there was somebody talking. Thank you very much.
Any hand, DM. That's why I've called you. I was thinking that they've exhausted their time for the question to answer. So let me check first, DM. If anyone still wants to raise or to answer, I'm not going to give you after the DM.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Since you're taking that rule, there's no response on my questions.
Can you wait? I'm giving the DM.
Thank you very much, Chair. Without trying to destabilize you, Chair, I thought I heard the chairperson of the council saying the CEO must come in before I come in.
I didn't hear that. CEO? Thank you, DM.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will respond. I've noted the comments made by Honourable Tetwa, and I wish to also answer on the issue of the appeal. The NAC Act, Section 12, actually prescribes the appeals processes and how it should be dealt with. So appeals are directed to the department, directly to the ministry's office to deal with appeals, because the NAC cannot be a player and a referee at the same time. So we need, an independent panel to review our assessment of applications, whether we were right or wrong in that respect. In our funding guidelines and also in our application form, we do indicate that the NEC is unlikely to cover the full budget of projects, and we therefore request applicants to source funding elsewhere, purely because we are aware that the amount of budget that is available for funding really does not meet the needs of the sector itself. So it comes, you know, inadvertently that the amount that the project will be allocated, that the panel will allocate, would not necessarily be to the maximum that the project has requested for. Because if we do that, we'll end up funding only 50 people with PSP funds, and the rest of the people will not be allocated funds in that instance. On the issue of Mr. Mashiani, as an NEC, as an institution, we do have the right to review any award or any ruling that has been made. And in this case, I have indicated that we have taken the matter, you know, on review. It is with the court at this stage. And I'm not in a position to be talking openly in this platform about the merits of the case. I did indicate that we will send a report to the committee on this matter. In terms of the finances for all the legal costs that the NEC has been engaged with, we are utilizing our administration cost money and the money that we actually earn from the interest to pay for this additional cost. Mr. Mashiani's case is not the only one the NEC has been handling in the past 2 years, so there are several ones, and it is of this issue that we do use administration cost money, particularly money earned from interest. Thank you, Chair. And there was also a question on how many acting positions we have currently at the NEC. Prior to the appointment of interim CEO and interim CFO, we had 3 acting positions, acting CEO, acting CFO, as well as the acting comms and marketing manager. Since the 2 offices have been capacitated through interim appointments, we are only left with 1 currently that we are going to close off. Thank you.
Whilst we are still on the platform, CFO, I hear you saying that, admitting that as a council, you have the link of monies, and I want to just do this, ask you, are you able to recover money concern, and how much do you need to recover, and do you have any strategies to recover the money that is unable to be accounted, and are you having a time frames about that? Thank you.
Chair, my hand is up.
I thank you, NEC.
Chair, my hand is up.
It has been up. That's the problem. I was not aware now whether it's a leak at the end. You didn't lower your hand.
Let me lower it and raise it again. I've loaded it. I'm raising it again.
Yes, Honorable
Honorable Dudu, he has a problem when I speak. And because I do my oversight work, he cannot say I'm Zalangai when I ask questions. She just said that. And she has this tendency, when I'll talk to her, they'll say, under my woman. It's not about woman issue. It's about a man respecting another man, irrespective of gender. She just said, can she explain herself before I speak?
Honorable Mhlongo, I'm still chairing the meeting. I've asked the question and I gave you the platform, so which means I'm part of Nidlalangathi. I'm not sure why she's personalizing, and I'm not going to ask her to take the platform. We don't have time now. I'm giving you the platform to raise a follow-up question.
Chairperson, I wanted to find out, you know, this NAC must account, and I repeat myself several times, under Minister Zizi Godwa, Minister, you must put this entity under administration. It must be under administration, so to say. Because they don't account. I've asked financials, how much did they spend? They say they've run all 2 years. I'm talking about Mashiani's question. How much did you spend for legal costs? You did not respond. Now, another question on the same Mashian, why didn't you reinstate him? You go to labor court. What is the reason? Is it who is leading this legal battle against the employee? Is it NAC or is it Mashiano or is it the management or is it council? Who's leading this battle? Because he was the part of Kume Into Zenzwa Mkonyovu as NAC. Now, is the NAC council fighting this battle or is it management fighting this battle or is who's who?
Can I ask you and then can I ask NAC that you must respond on those questions which were raised by Honorable Mhlongo, because now Honorable Mhlongo is repeating his question which he raised those questions. We don't have enough time. Can you please respond on the questions that Honorable Mhlongo has asked as follow-up questions, please?
Thank you very much for protecting me, Chairperson.
Can we...
Honorable Malomane, you want to raise...
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to request that the question, because Mr. Mhlongo or Honorable Mhlongo, he said they never responded, that maybe can it be done in writing and be forwarded in the committee secretariat, the responses that they never responded. Thank you, Chair.
I was giving them the platform that they must respond. It must come from themselves on what you are proposing, Honorable Malomane. CFO?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's the Chair of NAC. I just want to make a request that we will respond to you, portfolio Chairperson, on the questions that that Honorable Mhlongo has requested us to answer on. Thank you very much.
I'm suspecting you need to go and have a detail, and you must look at the question of Honorable Mhlongo, because he elaborated about that. I wanted that we must hear from you. Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much to the Honorable Members. I just wanted Honorable Mhlongo to see me. Can I switch off the video?
You're so beautiful, DM.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. You know, in a long time, Chair, I must say, the meeting, the portfolio committee meeting, where the NAC is present, has been very civil, Honorable Mhlongo. And I suspect it is because the NAC is actually growing and improving, and the portfolio committee is starting to understand. For Minister to know that when NAC comes in front of the portfolio committee, it is always fireworks, Minister. It is at least the first time that this meeting is very civil like the one today, Chair. And I know you would agree with me.
Yes.
But I wanted to comment first that, Chair, I think we need to appreciate that the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program, both PESP 3 and 4, had been a real positive rescue for the creatives. And I think we need to appreciate the fact that the presidency came with this at the right time. I want to believe that if this program did not come at the right time, we would have had more serious problems with the creatives. And sometimes we don't take enough time to appreciate what government is doing. This PESP has been really a rescue for us. I think we need to agree on that. And of course, the level of funding for creatives will never be enough, because we know the need is huge for the creatives in the country. But whilst we are agreeing that the funding would not be enough, it is also important that as all of us politicians, when we interact with the creatives, we also tell them the truth. We actually explain to them that it becomes very important that you are able to account even for the little amount that you had received. Because when minister goes back to the presidency to go and beg for more money, we need to be able to have a clean report that says the little that you had given us, the creatives had appreciated it, there is no people who have defaulted, and the report is clean, so that when then we start to interact with the presidents, even in these austerity measures, we are able to have a good story to actually explain to the presidents. And I thought it's important that we do that, because we are not going to be able to convince moving forward that we don't know that we're going to have PESP 5 or PESP 6, but as we didn't know that we were going to have PESP 4. We thought that PESP 3 was the first and the last. But with all good things, we had PESP 4. We might have PESP 5, but we must be able to make sure that we have a positive report that will actually make sure that both Treasury and the presidency see the need to give more funding to the creatives. We can't have a situation where we are sitting with people that would sit in a meeting and say, I am also a defaulter. We need to work on those things. We understand the challenges, but let's work on these things and make sure that we are able to assist the creatives so that they are also helping those that have not received the funding before them. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is the fact that Minister has spoken about the fact that the amalgamation is a very critical issue that we are dealing with at the department. And I really do want to take responsibility as the ministry for the fact that you still have the acting CEO and everybody at NAC, because we felt that now the entities must not employ until we are able to conclude this issue of the amalgamation of the entities. Because it's going to be a problem again moving forward when you have a permanent CEO of NAC and a permanent CEO of NFVF when we are amalgamating. So the reality of the situation right now is that the temporal post now, or the acting post, or the Hollywood, as Honorable Msongo puts it, we are partly now responsible because we are dealing and managing the process of amalgamation. Because otherwise, it would be irresponsible of us to say they must employ when we are dealing with these processes. I thought I must take the blame out of the NHC for now and actually agree that as the department and the ministry, we had actually said to the entities, don't employ. That's why Minister was even talking about the board, that there would be probably an extension for those that are available until towards the end of the financial year, because we are managing the issue of the amalgamation. And also, Chair, I thought it's important because there was a question, and I know that it was responded to, how do we make sure that there's more money in the pot by making sure that we involve corporates, which I know Minister has been knocking on doors to make sure that corporates come into the party, to make sure they become part of making sure that both the sport and the creatives are adequately funded. But as I want to repeat this, we need to also make sure that there is responsibility taken by both those that are going around asking the money for. Because the corporates are very critical about how you use your rents and cents, so that when they come, they become comfortable in knowing that NAC and any other entity have got their ducks in a row. They know how to make sure that everybody accounts for whatever money that they are given. And I think I just heard Honorable Mthethwa talking about a funding tracking system that would also look at and try to subvent the issue of oversubscribe. Well and good, but I think the ones that we have, the little that we have been given, can people account for it? Because that accounting is also making sure that that artist that is still waiting to get for that little money that you had already received is able to receive, because they will receive it only when you would have accounted. Because once you account, you open doors for more funding to come in. I thought it's important that we put these things into perspective and understand that, yes, we have a challenge. Yes, NAC is doing the best they can in terms of managing the 182 million that they received. Yes, we had seen that the applications were more than they could even afford, with the almost 737 applications only from Gauteng. But at least the little money, they managed to make sure that they cut that cake to be able to give as many as possible. And I think let's be honest with the creatives when we speak to them, so that us that have got the information, us that we are politicians, we are able to tell the truth. We don't go out there and incite creatives as if there is a lot of money sitting in the pot when we ourselves are not sharing the good information that we receive in this. And I thought it's important. And I think for me, it has been one of the best meetings so far, where at least we are able, all of us, to understand the situation we're dealing with, the challenges. And I want to agree with you, Chair, that the issues of HR that Honorable Mhlongo has raised, that the NAC has tried to respond to, must be responded in writing, because the reality of the situation, they have taken the case under review. When you have taken the case under review, you cannot then have the person going back to work, because the case is still going on. But I think let's get all those, so that everybody is able to understand what is going on. But thank you so much, and thank you very much to both the officials of the department and the NAC for actually being very open and educative about this process of the Presidential Employment Stimulus Program. Thank you so much. I'm done, Chair.
I'm speaking, I didn't open. thank you so much, DM. Let me take this opportunity to thank the Minister, the DM, Acting DG, with the all of your staff, thanking the NAC, hoping that as a DM is saying, and the honorable members, they know themselves that we have been not having meetings like this when we are here, NAC, and I'm suspecting the transition to you that we're wanting that everything must be up to date. Now we do understand, and this information that is in front of us, it's making us now to understand what we are doing and what we are short of. Except that I can say, DM, as this committee, we are aware that this question of amalgamation, it was
Hey, I'm seeing one member now running to the bus. this question of amalgamation, and when we becoming joining these two departments, the sports, arts and culture, we have identified as this committee that until we have what you are looking at, until we have white paper, we'll be having people that will be going out there on the media and raising issues whilst those some entities, some individuals are not yet accounting. If you still remember, we did get that you do give them the first tranche, second tranche. When you're about to ask to them that they must account, it becomes a media issue that department NAC. So we would love to see that all what you have been trying, that it must happen since inception of this term, would love to see it happening. Until then, people will be taking monies and not to account. And when people asking them to account, they will just go to the media and do everything, hoping that now we are thanking all of you today. We still have work to do, and I'm suspecting NAC, we have taken the advices from each and everyone in this meeting, from the minister, from the DM, and to the members at large. The meeting is closed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Long live the chair. Long live the chair. Long live the chair.
Except that
I long live the chair.
Just a 3 minutes, members of the committee, please, with due respect, I'm releasing the department with your entourage and NAC. I want just honorable members to remain behind with our secretariat. I thank you. Honorable members, let me also, you are right. Our researchers, secretariat, you must remain. I want to be sure that we are having only our good selves. Confirm, Jabu.
I'm just removing the other members that are not part of the committee, Chair. I see that we still have some people from the department here.
Oh, bagwa. Basahlalele na. Mbani bantakwethu mbani.
Yes, Chair, we just have the committee members and PMG in the meeting, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, our good staff, can I report that we are still waiting from Ujabu and Zoleka to confirm about Indaba, but in the meantime, I would love that all who wanted to go on the 14th and 15th must give that information to Ujabu, but alternatively, we must book ourselves
and the ministry if we didn't get responses is tomorrow. That in order that the secretariat must register us, we must fly by ourselves, and then the ministry is promising that with the transport they can cater for us, and with the accommodation, because we raised this to themselves that to this point it was this committee who was wanting that. We wanted this in Daba, and when now in Daba is ready, that's why the ministry invited us. But as you are aware, as this committee, we don't have any capacity, and I don't know whether honorable members has got a right to go and do a sit-in, but we don't have that time, that we don't have. We didn't have to have any outreach, any trips. So let's take this advantage, report to the secretariat today that you will be going, unless they are getting a new information. But so long, we need to be registered, getting permission or not. I wanted to raise that, honorable members. Thank you so much, honorable members.
Chair, we don't deal with minutes. Apology.
I'm sorry. Can we not deal with them? Because you know they, unless you think that there's nothing that we can discuss more. Let's try to go to the minutes, because I'm saying that all the members are still here, and flag the minutes. So I was worried that thinking that the members will be not be in the platform. Almost the members are here. Honorable members, thank you, Honorable Mhlongo, of reminding me it's 5th of September.
No, Chair, so we don't have a quorum for that. I was checking the numbers.
Oh.
Yeah, apology. We don't have members.
Yes, because others I've seen, they were rushing to the buses. I was
1, 2, 5, 6, 7 with you. 1, 2. Automatically, Honorable Dennis, who by alternate as Zimbabwe as a member. Yeah.
3, 4, 7. Jabu?
I've just counted 7 members, Chair. We can continue, Chair.
Yes, it was 7.
It was 7.
Continue. Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. We are 7. Flag them, Jabu. 5th of September.
Can we start with the 1st of September and then we move to the 5th, Chair?
Okay. Honorable members, I'm presenting these minutes of the 1st September, the longest ones, but I'm suspecting you have read as they were put long ago to our good selves. Go on. I'm presenting these minutes in front of you, honorable members. Can you adopt the minutes of the 1st of September? Honorable Mthethwa.
Honorable Mthethwa.
I move for adoption, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mthethwa. Honorable Du.
I'm seconding the adoption of the minutes. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you so much, Honorable Members. Can you put the 51? Yes. 50 of September minutes are in front of us. Go up. Yes. 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 Honorable members, these are your minutes. Can you adopt them, Honorable Mthethwa?
I move for adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mthethwa. Honorable Malomane.
Thank you, Chair. I'm seconding.
You are the A team, all of you. Thank you so much, Honorable members. Now the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Siyabonga.
Thank you.
Liyabonga.